You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle, while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome to the show today. I will be your host for the David Knight Show today. As you can tell, I am not David Knight. I'm his son, Travis Knight, and the studio setup is a bit different today. That is because I am broadcasting all on my own, solo, so it's a little bit different, and hopefully things go smoothly. I will be doing my best, and we'll see how it goes from there. Well, we have a lot to cover today. I would like to start with this article here. This is from Futurism. It says, OpenAI board member resigns after deep connections to Epstein exposed. And I think an interesting thing about this article is it exposes how far-reaching Epstein's web was. He wasn't just interested in, you know, politicians. This guy was involved with politics, but he was also he was all over the place. And, of course, this is Larry Summers. And this article is on Futurism. If you give me just a second, I'll be able to pull it up for you. Let's get that set up for you. But right now, I'd like to wish you all a good morning, let you know that my dad is doing fine. He just needs a break with everything that's happened with my uncle. He just needs some time off, and he will be back soon. So don't worry. David is fine. And here we can see this article, The David Knight Show, and it is on Futurism. See the title there, OpenAI board member resigns after deep connections to Epstein exposed. Isn't that wonderful? And you have to imagine the poor woman that had to deal with this man. It is truly horrifying. Following release of thousands of deceased sex criminal Jeffrey Epstein's emails by the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, it came to light that Larry Summers, former U.S. Treasury Secretary and Harvard economist, was deeply involved in the arch pedophile's affairs. But Summers isn't just a top-level economist, he's also a shareholder in the massive AI company OpenAI, creator of ChatGPT and Sora. His web was everywhere. It's not just politicians. It is people like Larry Summers that are involved in OpenAI, ChatGPT, Sora. Unlike other problematic OpenAI investors, Summers is a top dog at OpenAI, holding a spot on the board of directors. At least he used to. Earlier today, Summers announced he was stepping down from his role with the company. At least he's got, I guess, some shame, unlike other people. In line with my announcement to step away from my public commitments, I've also decided to resign from the board of OpenAI, he told the company in a statement. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have served, excited about the potential of the company, and look forward to following their progress. Apparently, I'm getting an echo for some reason, but we'll figure it out and move on. Summers isn't any old OpenAI investor, and he likewise wasn't merely an acquaintance to Epstein. In one 2018 email, Epstein described himself as Summers' wingman. What a nice friend Jeffrey Epstein was to this man. The context was somehow even worse. As a student newspaper, the Harvard Crimson reported, because The Economist was asking Epstein for advice as he pursued a relationship with someone he was mentoring, despite having been married since 2005, in a staggeringly unethical breach of academic norms. Let's see. Hopefully that fixes the issue with the doubled audio. We'll find out. As Summers fretted that the woman he was teaching valued his professional insights more than his personal acumen, Epstein told him, "She is doomed to be with you." And looking at Larry Summers, I imagine that would be considered doom, perhaps a fate worse than death. "I think for now I'm going nowhere with her except economics mentor," Summers told Epstein at the time. This is... "Well, I have great regrets in my life," Summers told the Crimsoner statement. "As I have said before, my association with Jeffrey Epstein was a major error of judgment." A major error of judgment is a very mild way to say this. He's underselling it a little bit, isn't he? It was an error in judgment, me being associated with this known sex trafficking potential pedophile. In my opinion, almost definite pedophile. You don't want to split hairs about the Ephebophile nonsense that people continually want to. And there is the audio again. It is driving me to distraction. But that is our first article for the day. And as I said, it shows that Epstein's web is not just involved with politics. It stretches and spans across multiple avenues. He was involved with all kinds of different things. And that is something that we need to remember. It's not just politics. These guys are everywhere. Our higher echelons in just about every single aspect of our lives are run by these people. They have infiltrated every single area. Let's see. Let's check what comments we have going on. I'll be trying to monitor comments as we go. I see you all in chat on Rumble. I appreciate you being here today. It is a pleasure to be hosting the show. And as I said, David is fine. He just needs a little time off right now. It's been stressful and hard on our family. But please just keep us in your prayers. David will be back. Not tomorrow. Guard is hosting the show tomorrow. And again, that is Guard Goldsmith of Liberty Conspiracy. You can find him on Rumble and Twitter. But as I'm getting my bearings here with this new setup, let's move right along. This is another article that I thought was interesting, and this one is more just a bit strange. This is also on Futurism. Man cryogenically freezes wife, gets new girlfriend in the meantime. You can tell he doesn't really believe. He's not a true believer in the technology. He's hedging his bets. Like, well, you know, sure, maybe she'll come back one day, but I need a little... I need love in the meantime. Except it's not about love for this guy. The Chinese man cryogenically froze his 49-year-old wife after she died from lung cancer in 2017. But in spite of the implicit promise that he was waiting for future technology to bring her back to life, now he's ready to move on. As the BBC reports, Gui Junmin revealed in a recent interview that he's been dating somebody else since 2020, sparking a heated debate on social media in China. Junmin's wife, Zhan Wenlian, became China's first cryogenically preserved person, with Junmin signing a 30-year agreement with the Shandong Yinfeng Life Science Research Institute to keep her on ice. According to the South China Morning Post, the institute first teamed up with the Shandong University in 2015, offering free procedures to early volunteers. That's right. If you get in early, they will freeze you for eternity on the cheap. I guess even free. Isn't that nice? They'll turn you into a popsicle, and you won't even have to pay for it. Despite his hopes of one day thawing her remains, I also have to say, I wouldn't trust any company, but especially not in China, to actually keep my body the way they say they're going to. Yeah, give us a 30-year timeline. Come back and check on her in 30 years, and you find out that they've, you know, parted her out. Cut her up. I'm not accusing this company. I'm just saying I wouldn't trust any company at all not to engage in some illicit affairs. Despite his hopes of one day thawing her remains after being submerged in 2,000 liters of liquid nitrogen to allow her to live once more, there's still no scientific evidence that cryogenically preserved bodies could ever be resurrected. And of course, if you're a Christian, you understand that they cannot be, because the soul is not a physical thing. Once the soul has departed, the flesh is dead. There's no bringing it back. It is simply a husk. The life is gone. According to estimates, there are around 600 people who have been cryopreserved, but whether any of them will have the chance to tell the tale is anything but certain. All these people, desperate, so desperate, to avoid death. They'll do anything. They'll grasp at the faintest hope, just anything to give them a glimmer that maybe it's not the end. And of course, we know it is not the end, but these people are desperate for something else. That reality hasn't stopped a cottage industry of companies across the globe from offering service to rapidly cool down the bodies of the recently deceased with the hopes of a future technological revolution that will somehow allow them to be brought back to life. Somehow. They haven't quite figured it out yet. They're working on it. They'll get back to you. But if you want to pay them right now for the service, you know, if it happens, you can get in on that, I suppose. Maybe they'll give you a discount. Despite starting to date following his late wife's cryogenic procedure, Junmin claimed he hasn't given up his deceased life partner, saying that Wang hasn't entered my heart yet. Well, that's great. You got to imagine it's a bit galling to be the other woman in this scenario. Well, you know, I love you, honey, but just not as much as my dead, frozen wife that I keep in a vat of liquid nitrogen. Complicating the bizarre love triangle is the fact that Junmin is now relying on Wang to walk after undergoing coronary stent surgery. She can never replace my wife, he told Southern Weekly. I cannot just forget the past, but I still need to move on with life. Netizens were outraged, arguing Junmin was wrong to move on. Gui might seem deeply devoted, but in reality, this is emotional detachment, one person wrote in a social media post. As quoted by the SCMP, South China Morning Post, his so-called love for Zhan is more like an obsession with playing the role of the grieving husband. Just look at how cold and distant he appears with his current partner. Speaking of cold and distant, well, that's, again, this is the future they are desperate for. We're going to solve our problems. We'll freeze you. And when we figure it out, we'll pop you back in. It'll be wonderful. You'll awake to a utopia. Except they'll never get it. It's never going to happen. Another part of this article is that he specifically talks about the fact, well, you know, you need someone around in case something bad happens. This guy simply wants a live-in partner in case he falls or hurts himself. He's obviously deeply in love with this woman. The modern world is very strange. Speaking of very strange, this article is also on futurism. The sober RFK Jr. has allegedly been smoking DMT. Isn't that what we want our leaders to be doing? You know what? I, for one, am so glad to know that those in charge of us, those in positions of power, are doing DMT. They're communing with the machine elves. Or demons, depending on who you ask. I would say demons. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has made a long series of controversial movies in that role. From attacking the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to shutting down promising vaccine studies that could have led to a cure for cancer. All right, all that sounds good so far. That sounds good so far. They're kind of bearing the lead here. At the same time, confusingly, he's not above pumping himself with testosterone and other questionable substances. And apparently doesn't stop there. He also smokes the powerful psychedelic dimethyltryptamine and ingests other mind-altering substances despite years of being sober, according at least to a new book by his one-time paramour, Olivia Nutsey. Nutsey? I don't know. A former political reporter for New York Magazine who left the publication after an affair with Kennedy was made public. She writes that despite being sober for decades, Kennedy told her that he still uses psychedelics and even smoked dimethyltryptamine, a powerful drug on which people are known to have what feels like near-death experiences. That's right. I want my leaders, the people in charge of me, to be out there chasing the near-death experience high. Isn't that great? While many critics are making hay over the details of the affair, the admission that Kennedy uses DMT, I imagine sleeping with a Kennedy is a long-standing tradition for reporters. I imagine, you know, there's probably an award you get. You did it, finally. While many critics are making hay over the detail of the affair, the admission that Kennedy uses DMT, an illegal substance, while also working on blocking access to vaccines for children and adults is admittedly pretty galling. That's what they're mostly mad about. Yeah, whatever the DMT stuff. Who cares if he's out of his gourd talking to demons and machine elves? He's blocking access to vaccines. It is truly amazing how obsessed these people have become with vaccines. It kicked into high gear in the mid-2000s, and then COVID hit, their phony scam, and everyone became the most slavish vaccine pushers they could. Well, you've got to get it. It's important. You're going to kill grandma. You're going to kill the children. How could you say no? DMT is illegal, one ex-user wrote in response to the New York Times article. You can't manufacture, possess, or distribute it. So Nutsey is effectively saying RFK Jr. is in violation of federal law. Yes. Thank you, ex-user, for succinctly stating what everyone already... Do they really need to put this into the article? That someone just summarizes the facts like, it's illegal, so he's in violation. Yeah, obviously. Who doesn't know this? Why do they need... I'm going off on a tangent here, but this is such lazy, slovenly writing. It's illegal. Yes, thank you. Do you have anything else to say? Kennedy, who professes to be a sober opioid addict, is a mixed bag when it comes to mind-altering substances. He's been curiously quiet on cigarettes, is fond of nicotine chewables, and under his leadership, the e-cigarette company... Yes, we're aware RFK Jr. has some issues. The main one being that he spent so much time exposing vaccines before he got into power, and then completely and utterly backed off once he got there. Once he could do something about it, he decided, I don't know. Why bother? Why bother? That is the article from Futurism. RFK Jr. communing with machine elves or demons, depending, as I said, on who you ask. This morning, when I first got up, I started checking Twitter and the other places for a little bit of more up-to-date news. I did most of this last night, but gotta check the early mornings. Elon Musk tweeted out, and of course, he is a technocrat, and he puts on a very optimistic face. And this, you can see on Twitter, it's himself, at Elon Musk. The most likely outcome is that AI and robots make everyone wealthy, in fact, far wealthier than the richest person on Earth. By this, I mean that people will have access to everything from medical care that is superhuman to games that are far more fun than what exists today. We do need to make sure that AI cares deeply about truth and beauty for this to be the probable future. That's right. AI is going to make you rich and happy. It's going to do everything for you, everything that you could possibly want. Except we've seen over and over again that when you strip people of the ability to work, to create for themselves, to earn a living, it makes them deeply unhappy, makes them deeply dissatisfied. It will rob them of very important aspects of what it means to be human. It is not simply enough to laze around and do nothing, to enjoy yourself constantly. That leads to severe emptiness. And yet this is the future they're selling us. It's going to be great. You won't have to do anything. You're going to be richer and more happy. There'll be better games. The medical care will be fantastic. It's just this continual push of this utopia. And it seems as though so many people haven't realized that anyone that's trying to sell you a utopia is a scammer. It was true of the communists. It's true of libertarians that will tell you that we can create a utopia here on Earth. You can't. No ideology is going to create a utopia because humans are not perfect. They can't do it. Everything is subject to human nature. Anything that involves humans is subject to human nature, and therefore, you cannot have a utopia on Earth. It's that simple, and yet people continually overlook that. This, again, we're going through this in no particular order when it comes to seriousness. It's a bit disorganized, but I was up late last night working on this. This is another article from Futurism. They have a lot of absurd and ridiculous articles there. And the astronomer explores possibility of launching bad people into the sun. And of course, this is just a thought exercise on his part, mostly, on how it might be done. He talks about, well, you know, we could use the orbits of the planets. You know, we slingshot past them to get them into the sun. And I really don't like that he might actually be giving these people ideas. If someone was going to put people on a rocket and launch them into the sun, it would be Donald Trump or Bill Gates. We're not advocates of executing people in cruel and unusual ways here on Futurism, but we have to admit, we're intrigued. Of course, is the Associate Professor of Astronomy at Monash University, Michael J.I. Brown, explains, the concept sounds easy enough, does it? But maybe harder than you think. Ah, yes, the casual flinging of someone into the sun sounds easy enough. Apparently, it's not as easy as you might think. You can't just do it on a whim, apparently, and the reasons why are fascinating, at least from a perspective of physics rather than criminal justice. That's right, criminal justice we don't care about. No, this is a physics problem. The courts can figure out whether or not we're morally allowed to fling someone into the sun. I'm just here to see if we can. First, the rocket carrying our hypothetical villain, deserving of a dramatic demise, has to be going incredibly fast to break free of Earth's gravity. At least 11 kilometers per second or over 25,000 miles per hour. Let's say we have a rocket capable of that and we point it straight at the sun. What then? The results are, to be honest, disappointing, Brown writes in a hopefully tongue-in-cheek essay for the conversation. We missed the sun by almost 100 million kilometers. Well, that's a little bit, yeah. Slight error. As you may have surmised, that's because the Earth is revolving around the sun at around 30 kilometers per second, pushing our spacecraft off course. Darn! How could this happen? We're not going to be able to launch our criminals into the sun at all at this rate. When a rocket leaves the proximity of the Earth, it is traveling faster around the sun than towards the sun, Brown explained. At first, the rocket gets closer to the sun, but the motion of the rocket around the sun and gravity results in an elliptical orbit that misses the sun entirely. Darn, cursed to drift through ever, through the void of space, I guess. Probably a fate worse than being launched into the sun. Our launch trajectory then needs to counteract Earth's orbit. Blah, 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 you get it. I found the most entertaining thing about this just be, this is an associate professor, and his, apparently what he's doing is sitting around thinking, well, what would it take to launch someone into the sun? What if there was a criminal? You know, we could launch them there, right? This is, again, what our universities are apparently doing. No comment on the criminal justice, the ethical implications of simply launching someone off into space. Well, we've seen that over and over again. Once again, this article is on Futurism, and it's passenger alarmed when Tesla robo-taxi safety driver falls completely asleep at the wheel. Who watches the watchers? Well, not this guy, apparently. He's completely put his faith in the machine. and decided that he'll just take a nap instead. Nah, I don't feel like paying attention anymore. And you can see this video right here. He is completely passed out. He is head down, nodding away. I cannot believe the person in the car didn't immediately stand up, immediately get out of it. It's truly amazing the level of faith some of these people have in this technology. I, myself, would have none of it. Well, I guess just different types of individuals. It blows my mind that his first instinct is just, I should take out my phone and record this. Boy, this will be a funny video later. It makes me wonder where the survival instinct went in people. Again, as I said, I would be reaching for the door handle immediately. He's asleep. The robot's in control. I have no idea exactly how safe these things are. I think I'll exit the vehicle. No, this dutiful little lemming sits there and thinks, I'll record this. I'll record this man sleeping, whether it leads to my fiery demise or not. This will be a great video for social media. Boy, this will be funny. We have another article on futurism, and this one is less fun and less funny and more sinister. And I think it's something that a lot of people are going to have to be dealing with in the future. This ChatGPT is blowing up marriages as spouses use AI to attack their partners. My family is being ripped apart, and I firmly believe this phenomenon is central to why. Husband and wife together nearly 15 years have reached a breaking point. In the middle of their latest fight, they received a heartbreaking text. Our son heard us arguing, the husband told Futurism. He's 10, and he sent us a message from his phone saying, please don't get a divorce. What his wife did next, the man told us, unsettled him. She took his message and asked ChatGPT to respond. He recounted, this was her immediate reaction to our 10-year-old being concerned about us in that moment. Can you imagine being so utterly disconnected, so unwilling to engage with what's happening, that instead of taking the time to actually try to comfort your son in a human way, connect with him and reassure him, you just go to ChatGPT and say, hey, my kid's scared that we're getting a divorce. His world is collapsing around him. He thinks mommy and daddy are going to separate and his life is going to be altered forever. ChatGPT, give me something to say to this kid. What do I tell him? I can't even imagine that. Anything you can say, even if it's stumbling, even if you aren't sure, is better than turning it over to AI, because at least then it was yours. The couple is now divorcing. Yeah, I imagine that didn't help her case. I imagine he wasn't going to look favorably on that. The couple's now divorcing. Like most marriages, the husband conceded. Theirs was imperfect, but they've been able to overcome their difficulties in the past, and as of just a few months ago, he felt they were in a good, stable place. Been together for just under 15 years total. Two kids, he explained. We've had ups and downs like any relationship. And in 2023, we almost split, but we ended up reconciling. We had, I thought, two very good years. Very close years. And then he sighed. The whole ChatGPT thing happened. Over this past summer, arguments they'd worked together to resolve years ago came suddenly and ferociously roaring back. What he eventually realized was that his wife had started using OpenAI's chatbots to analyze him and their marriage, holding long, drawn-out conversations over text. Chatbot's phone-like voice mode feature. That's right. She couldn't let this go. She's going to relitigate all the arguments they've ever had and have ChatGPT tell her, you were right, he was wrong, here's why. And of course, we know how sycophantic and obsessive the chatbots are, desperate to tell you anything you want to hear. So whether she was right or not, the chatbot is most likely, almost definitely going to side with her. Tell her, yes, you were correct. He was a monster. He was wrong. This is what is driving so many people insane as well. You're a genius. You're right. You're the only one that sees this. You need to continue down this path. I could see ChatGPT responses compounding, he said, and then my wife responding to the things ChatGPT was saying back, and further and further and further spinning. It's not giving objective analysis, he added. It's only giving her back what she's putting in. Of course, that is what we see in all of these things. It tries to figure out what you want to hear. It's not sitting there objectively thinking about the truth because it can't. It's going to figure out what it thinks you want, and then weigh that against what it has in its data banks and try to give you a response that marries those two together. Their marriage eroded swiftly over a span of about 4 weeks, and the husband blames ChatGPT. My family's being ripped apart, the man said, and I firmly believe this phenomenon is central to why. This also plays into what we've seen happening with AIs. Men, there's a whole new industry of AI-generated adult content, you know, pornography and all kinds of things out there. Companies sprouting out of the woodwork to deliver this kind of perversion to people. And that's generally how men are going to use it. They're going to use it to look at something, you know, they're going to use it to look at pornography. They're not generally going to interface with it as a real person. They're not going to develop these kinds of feelings. Generally, there will be some, but that's not going to be the majority of men, at least not immediately. Women seem to be actively engaging with them as a person and building what they call relationships with them because they are sycophantic. This is a man, quote unquote, that tells them whatever they want to hear, that continually reassures them, you are right, absolutely, yes, I agree with you. It is a sycophant that will continually reassure them. Absolutely, you were correct. You were so right on this. Everything you say is true. It will go out of its way to back you up, no matter how obviously false and ridiculous your statements are. Now, of course, ChatGPT realized this was a huge issue, and they put out an update that somewhat, they say, rectified the issue. It's not as sycophantic anymore. It's not going to absolutely co-sign everything you say. But if you're a paid subscriber, you can just roll back to the previous iteration, and you never have to be rid of it. I'm sure eventually they'll get these kinks worked out. But this is what's happening in the meantime. It is destroying marriages. It's destroying minds. And people are just flat out turning their entire life over to it. ChatGPT, explain this to me. ChatGPT, what's going on here? ChatGPT, comfort my son for me. What more can these people turn over to a robot? At this point, the jobs are far less interesting to me than this. Yeah, the robots in the AI are coming for our jobs. But they're already coming for the family. This is already happening. Whether or not it implodes the market, this is, again, more important. A job is important. You need to be able to support yourself. You need to be able to support your family. But when it is attacking your family directly like this, that is far more horrifying to me than whatever happens with the job market. And it's so sad to see people so willing to immediately turn themselves over to this. I guess it's just indicative of the culture we live in now, completely and utterly divorced from what we were as a nation. Not in my lifetime, but the Christian roots of this nation have been completely and utterly burned out. People are totally empty. They have no interest in even connecting with their own children, apparently, when they need them most. We're going to take a quick break while I find our next articles, and we will be right back, so stay with us.
making sense common again. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Keith Riegert says that there's only two possibilities for AI. It's either going to collapse the economy if it doesn't work out, or if it does work out, the use case is to take everybody's job and make everybody's jobs obsolete. Not a good prospect if those are the two choices that are there. I think, though, that there is a third choice, and that is that the government, maybe it won't take everybody's jobs, and maybe it won't collapse the economy, because maybe the AI bubble won't burst, but we will live under a dystopian control surveillance grid, because that's what the government will use it for. So there's a third alternative. AI's killer use case, folks, is surveillance and control of us. And that's why the government is going to be so desperate to fund it, whatever it takes. If you want to know why gold and silver and Bitcoin are soaring, it's the debasement of the dollar in order to fund the AI arms race, they said. And of course, energy is the reality factor in all of this. That's where it gets real. And that's one of the reasons why Bill Gates and others are moving back away from the climate MacGuffin. The plandemic MacGuffin gives them all the justification that they need. And they need to have this surveillance control and ID, this control grid that is there. They need to have that, and they need to have artificial intelligence to run that. So they're pulling back from that because in order to have the AI control structure, they've got to have massive amounts of energy.
Welcome back, folks. Yes, that is the true use case of AI. It is total control and surveillance, real-time assessment of your threat level. Did you say something wrong? Really puts it into perspective, that whole launching people into the sun thing. They would never launch people preemptively, right? Of course, I don't really believe they're going to launch people into the sun. I don't really believe you're going to get launched into space for posting an offensive meme on Twitter. But just because they won't launch you into the sun doesn't mean they aren't going to lock you up. Doesn't mean they aren't going to make your life a living hell disagreeing with them for saying things they don't like. That is the truth. I saw we had a comment here from T. Norman Artist. I'm trying to find it on my own today. And so trying to run everything by yourself. I really do appreciate how much Lance does for the show. He keeps things running smoothly and is a great help. Well, I can't find the comment at the moment. It has vanished on me. Basically, he was saying he had to have an intervention with his son. And this is an adult son. This isn't a child. But he had an intervention, and apparently the son will no longer be using it. I'm happy for that. But this is just going to show that this isn't something that is just, you know, oh, it's affecting crazy people. This is only happening to certain people. Who knows what cause? This is the end result of the way the programs interact with you. It is simply there to gaslight you. Anything you say, it will validate, it will reassure, and it can work on anyone. No one is immune to propaganda. If you think you are, I have bad news. I have some very terrible news that you will not be happy to hear. You're not. No one is. And I saw someone ask in chat, where's David? Is David okay? Bulldog, yes, David is fine. Just with everything that's been going on with my uncle, everything that's going on with our family, he just needed some time off. He needed to take some time to recover and deal with everything. So he's okay, and he will be back Monday. Guard Goldsmith will be hosting the show tomorrow, so you can rest assured that it's in good hands, and tomorrow's show will be utterly fantastic, because Guard always does a fantastic job and brings the best quality information. And I want to real quickly say thank you to For Love of the Road and apologize. We didn't see this until late yesterday. Said, glad your friend's bypass surgery went well. My mother is having her thyroid cancer removed on Wednesday this week. So I ask that you all pray that that surgery went well. Pray that she recovers quickly. Please keep her, For Love of the Road's mother, in your prayers. Said, I tried to talk her into trying the apricot seeds. Bought them in pill form from RNC store. Unfortunately, she opted for the surgery. She's 3 years younger than you, so I hope the recovery time is only a week or two. I need to be around to take care of things until she's feeling up to it. Sorry again about Keith. That story about him coming down from New York to visit while y'all were in college was funny. Don't stand a chance with her. Great memory. Well, yeah, there's a lot of really good memories. And he also included my dad's old fourth turning report, which we will be playing later. It's only 4 minutes and change, so that's a quick one, which we will have later. Thank you for Love of the Road for including that. And of course, as I said, please pray for his mother. Pray that the recovery is quick and that she will be healthy and happy for many long years. Again, For Love of the Road is a great help. He continually sends advice and helps find older clips. Without him, a lot of these things, like the fourth turning, I wouldn't know where to find it. I wouldn't even have time to find it. So thank you for Love of the Road. And I see. Thank you, Con Think. I appreciate it. It says it's a lot easier with a tie wrapped around your neck. That's right. You know, it slows the brain, the blood flow to the brain, therefore slowing your thoughts, making it more difficult for me to say stupid things quickly. You know, it slows down that aspect, so I can't just rattle off dumb things. All right, moving on to the next article. This is also on futurism. You're noticing a trend here. We're kind of going through AI and tech stuff right now. We'll move along, and of course, Tony Arterburn will be joining us later. He's my guest for today. We'll be discussing gold and the economy. I've got a lot of articles, and hopefully he has some insights, because as you may know, the economy is not my area of expertise. I kind of just look at it and say, well, you know, it's bad. And that's about the extent of my analysis and abilities thereof. Let's take a look at this.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweets coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We see the internet crashed so hard this morning that down detector went down. Of course, this is what happened with Cloudflare. And I find this mostly entertaining as as an aside. I just have to imagine there was some poor soul sitting there unable to get down detector to work and therefore unable to know if the internet actually was down. Because how can you know the internet is down if the internet can't tell you it's down? How can you trust your own eyes? I wonder if there was someone sitting there refreshing desperately over and over again. Please tell me. Let me know. I have to be told. Please, down detector. I imagine it's those same people you see on Twitter. Hey, Grok. Hey, Grok. Is this real? What's this from? What's happening in this video? Down detector, please let me know. Is the internet down? Well, yes, it was. It was indeed. Not everywhere, but Cloudflare provides services that are integral to a lot of websites. And when they go down, the websites go down. They're embedded in so many different services and websites across the internet that when they have problems, it makes things get very squirrely very quickly, which is, again, another aspect of how fragile the entire ecosystem we live in is. It's not just the power delivery that's a bit shaky. A transformer blows and you're out of power for a while, but what if 10 transformers blow? What if 20 blow? They don't keep enough supplies on hand to repair 20 transformers. Everything is incredibly, it's built on sand and can go very, very quickly. Now, this article is from Breitbart, so surprise, surprise, it's not futurism. You can see this here. Paul McCartney to release silent AI protest song after UK relaxes copyright protections for tech firms. That's right. It's a silent protest album. Lots of different artists are coming together to say, well, you're going to take my music and use it to train AI? Well, I just won't make music. And I understand that this is a protest. I understand this is more of a performance art piece. However, if you're trying to convince me that AI is not the route forward, that we don't want this, you should be making better art. Not worried that the AI is going to steal it, because at that point you're simply saying the AI can do what I do. It's simply a matter of, well, I don't like the way it does it. If that's all there is, then why do I care? Unless you are contributing an X factor, something that cannot be replicated, unless there is some part of the human spirit or whatever you want to call it, that enters into your art and makes it meaningful, who cares? If the AI can copy your sound and create a Paul McCartney song, who cares then, right? What does it matter? I see so many artists simply doing this kind of thing or trying to engage in intellectual protestations of, well, copyright law says this and copyright law that. Copyright law is a screwed up mess and everyone knows it at this point. If you really want me to care, make art. Make something that moves me. Stop trying to sit there and intellectualize it. Prove why we need human art. Don't sit there and try to make some kind of statement. Make a better song. Prove why Paul McCartney is better than the AI, because a silent album doesn't do that. Oh, look, it's meaningful. It's a protest song. It means this, and they're standing up because, oh, they won't take their sound. Isn't that? No. Make something meaningful. Give your fans an album they can enjoy. If you're not doing that, who cares? All your performance art nonsense is irrelevant. It's immaterial. People are simply going to tune in to the next AI song. They're not going to sit there and think about, oh boy, a silent album. Isn't that fun? Isn't that cool? Who cares? Who cares? Make art and make it good. Make it so that people have something else to turn to besides AI. Because I guarantee you a large portion of the people involved with AI are younger children. They're just sitting there and like, oh, this is a cool, interesting little toy. So unless you give them something better, show them something cooler, they're not going to care. They're not going to be interested in the fact that, oh, hey, look, Paul McCartney is doing a protest album. This is simply more self-congratulatory nonsense. And this brings us to another article here.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
From Breitbart, and it's Nolte, says America's number one country song, Walk My Walk, is AI generated. That's right. The number one song in the country genre is AI generated. And Walk My Walk has got to be the most stereotypical, just on the nose title for a country song you could ever think of. Walk My Walk. And that's what AI does. It does nothing but extremely derivative, extremely on the nose reproductions of whatever you give it, whether you're generating images or whether you're generating music. It is simply going to spit out a mishmash of other people's sounds and styles. Billboard's number one song on its country digital song sales chart is called Walk My Walk by a band called Breaking Rust. And according to Billboard, Breaking Rust was created by artificial intelligence. An AI-generated song has become the first ever number one hit on the U.S. Billboard chart, according to Newsweek. Breaking Rust's Walk My Walk topped the country chart. This AI-generated musician song accumulated over 1 million plays on Spotify. Breitbart says this is only the beginning, and I tend to agree with him. I don't think the genie is going back in the bottle. I think the only way it goes back in the bottle is if there is an AI collapse and all these gadgets are taken out of the hands of people. Otherwise, I just don't see it happening. I don't think you get it back. Generally, technology continues to expand and move outward. Very rarely does it contract. Unless, of course, it's something that the people can utilize for their own benefit and the detriment of those in control, then it gets clamped down on real fast. But even then, once it's out, it's out. You see the hand-wringing over 3D printing of firearms, and they haven't been able to really stop it or control it at all in the slightest. That's what technology does. Once it's out into the hands of the people, it's never going back. Breaking Rust, an AI band that appeared on the internet in the middle of October based on its presence on Instagram, topped the chart last week with a song called Walk My Walk. And I think this also goes to speak to how derivative and empty and meaningless most modern music is. People will just turn on an AI song. Oh, yeah, sure. Why not? This is no better or worse than anything else I listen to, so who cares? Sure. Turn on the AI slop. I don't follow modern country music. I couldn't tell you a single artist, I don't think. I think, is Brad Paisley a country artist? That's a name that popped into my head. I feel like I've heard him associated with country, but I have no clue. I have no clue what these people are doing. But from what I hear when I'm in public and they're playing some kind of country western song on the radio, it is every bit as vacuous and empty, possibly more so than any other genre. It's all just, oh, love my truck, love my beer, love my dog. It really has just fully become the joke at this point. It is simply just a caricature of what it once was. And at that point, you're doing self-parody. So who cares if the AI takes it over? You had nothing to contribute anyway. It doesn't matter. Well, got this article here on Breitbart as well. It says Morgan Freeman says his lawyers have been very busy cracking down on unauthorized AI use of his voice. That's right, Morgan Freeman. You cannot use his voice. Hollywood legend Morgan Freeman lamented AI technology copying his voice, saying the authorized mimics rob him of his likeness. Ah, they misspelled unauthorized. Breitbart, I found a typo. The Seven and Now You See Me, Now You Don't star revealed his thoughts on AI in an interview with The Guardian. I have to say, these are two wildly different movies in terms of quality. The Seven and Now You See Me, Now You Don't star. This is, again, like, I don't know. It's like a chef, if he was a chef saying, the chef that, you know, cooked Surf and Turf and then threw a package of Skittles at my face. This is the quality difference between the two. I'm a little PO'd, you know, he said.
I'm like any other actor. Don't mimic me with falseness. I don't appreciate it. I get paid for doing stuff like that. So if you're going to do it without me, you're robbing me. I wonder if I'm robbing him right now. To be fair, I suppose my impersonation's not as spot on as an AI would be. But this is also another area where AI is a nightmare. It is a legal minefield. No one really knows.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
How this is going to shake out in the future. All these people are there and they're given access to these tools and said, yeah, generate whatever you want. And then a company comes in and says, actually, this is trained on our data, and if you make our stuff, that's going to be a problem. And then the company that gave them these tools says, well, you're responsible for whatever you generate. Sure, we let you do it. We put the tools in your hands. We gave you everything you needed. We didn't put any guardrails on this. We stole other people's intellectual property based on modern definitions. But it's really your fault. It's really your fault. So you can deal with the legal consequences. And I truly wonder what it's going to look like in the future. How many people are going to get slapped with enormous lawsuits because of this? As Breitbart News reported earlier this year, actors expressed concern over the prospect of talent agents seeking to represent digital actress named Tilly Norwood. Freeman said, she represents a real threat to actors. Nobody likes her because she's not real. That takes the part of a real person, so it's not going to work out very well in the movies and or in television, he said. The union's job is to keep actors acting, so there's going to be that conflict. This, again, movie stars aren't real people in the sense that everything you see about them is curated. Everything you see from them is curated. They are a completely constructed simulacra of a human being. They are a dreadful, wretched homunculus. There is nothing about them that is true or real. What does it matter, again, if our acting is taken from these people? Everything about them has been so completely and utterly removed from reality that this, again, doesn't matter. Oh no, the actors in Hollywood are upset that a fake person is going to take their job. Oh, that's sad. That's sad. If only there were any real people in Hollywood in the first place. We've seen that coming for a long time at SAG-AFTRA. We're in the vanguard. We're the absolute industry leader at helping to shape policy in this space. At least in the entertainment space, our lawyers help draft language that's in some of these AI protection bills, he told Variety, and that's actor Sean Astin. And I can understand people wanting to protect their jobs. I don't necessarily fault them for this. It's just, again, I care where AI is taking us, but it's these groups of people complaining about it tend to be some of the worst groups of people on the planet. I love Lord of the Rings. I love Sam as a character, but Sean Astin is not Sam. You have to remember these people. They are not these characters you portray that they portray and you come to love. They are still a part of Hollywood. They are not real. And on the opposite side of the spectrum from Morgan Freeman, we have, again on Breitbart, Michael Caine and Matthew McConaughey partner with AI company 11 Labs to clone their voices. They're getting in on it. They see which way the wind is blowing. Like, I don't think this is going to stop, so I might as well be the one to make the money off of it. New York AP, Oscar-winning actors Michael Caine and Matthew McConaughey have made deals with voice cloning company 11 Labs that will allow its artificial intelligence technology to replicate their voices. Caine said in a statement that 11 Labs is using innovation not to replace humanity, but to celebrate it. That's something. I wonder who constructed that for him. It's not about replacing voices. It's about amplifying them, opening doors for new storytellers everywhere, said the 92-year-old British actor in a written statement. That's right. Storytellers everywhere. I can now use Michael Caine's voice. I'll be getting a cut of it. I don't truly believe that Michael Caine is as, let's say altruistic as he's making out here. I don't think he's simply trying to empower storytellers. I think Michael Caine is just more mercenary than some of these other people. That while a very talented actor, he also is willing to do just about anything for a paycheck. Reminds me of the quote someone asked him about, I forget, whatever Jaws movie he was in. It was one of the later ones that was bad. They said, how could you act in that Jaws movie? It was terrible. He says, well, I've never seen that Jaws movie that I acted in, but I have seen the house it built, and it's terrific. So Michael Caine, a little bit mercenary. He's totally fine doing terrible movies, just so long as the paycheck is right. McConaughey also said he is investing in the New York-based startup and has had a relationship with it for several years. Financial terms of the deals were not disclosed. McConaughey said the deal will enable him to voice his newsletter in Spanish. Isn't that wonderful? That's right. They're going to...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop. So you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Clone Matthew McConaughey's voice and put it into Spanish. All right. Founded in 2022 and based in New York, 11 Labs initially developed its technology to dub audio in different languages for movies, audiobooks, and video games to preserve the speaker's voice and emotions. But shortly after its public release, 11 Labs said in January 2023, it was seeing an increasing number of voice cloning misuse cases. That's right, you're using these cloned voices for nefarious purposes. You have to stop having Matthew McConaughey or Morgan Freeman say skibbity riz or whatever it is, and promise new safeguards to tamp down on abuse, including limiting features to paid users. A year later, however, a digital consultant was able to use 11Labs software to mimic then-President Joe Biden's voice in a robocall message sent to thousands of New Hampshire voters. The company now says it has additional measures to block the cloning of celebrity with their high-profile voices without their consent. I know people are continually worried about the safety of these things. I'm more in the camp of, if someone gets fooled by one of these AI videos, you know, perhaps they just weren't ever going to make it. Perhaps you need to do more research. Perhaps you need to do more double checking. And, you know, I am sure that I will be taken advantage of by one of these things at some point as they get better and better. And maybe my tune will change at that point. However, if, you know, it's like these people that get these obviously fake AI video calls from these people. Oh, look, it's Matt Damon and he wants to be my boyfriend. He wants to break up with his wife, me to break up with my husband. All I need to do is send him $1,000 for the annulment or whatever. Oh, sure. I think perhaps this was just a sucker waiting for a scam. Someone was going to find them eventually. Not that we shouldn't punish people for scamming, but, you know, there's a, I don't even know. I don't know. We live in strange times. As I said, we have my dad's old fourth turning report, which we're going to play for you now. We take a quick break, and I will be right back, so stay with us.
I'm David Knight with the Nightly News. Now, this quote was written 9 years before the financial crisis of 2008, but it came from a book that was written in 1990, had the same ideas from the same authors, 18 years before the financial crisis. The fourth turning is due to begin shortly after the new millennium, midway through the 00 decade. About the year 2005, a sudden spark will catalyze a crisis mood. Remnants of the old social order will disintegrate. Political and economic trust will implode. Real hardship will beset the land with severe distress that could involve questions of class, race, nation, and empire. The very survival of the nation will feel at stake. Sometime before the year 2025, America will pass through a great gate in history, commensurate with the American Revolution, Civil War, and twin emergencies of the Great Depression and World War II. The basis of this prediction is a cyclical view of history that Strauss and Howe discovered by going back through American and English history back to the mid-1400s. And they discovered that just as we have seasons of weather, we have seasons of society. And just as we don't know the exact date that winter is going to come, or whether it's going to be a harsh or mild winter, we do know that it's going to follow fall, and we do know the approximate time that it's going to come.
We take a close look at the rhythms of American history, and in our book we make the following big prediction that beginning about 10 years from now, America is due to enter an era of crisis, an era of political and social upheaval that will last around 20 years or so until the late 2020s. We call this era a fourth turning, and we think it's going to be a big threshold for the history of our nation. It's going to be something on par with World War II and the Great Depression, or going back the length of a human lifespan before then, the Civil War, or going back the length of another human lifespan, the American Revolution. It could be a time of tragedy or a time of great opportunity.
What they found was that societies will go through four phases of high, awakening, unraveling, and crisis. Humans go through four phases of life: childhood, young adult, midlife, and elderhood. And they noticed generations where people have shared experiences and attitudes are spaced about 20 years apart. And generations are shaped by where their childhood falls within the phases of society. Now, this got my attention because I noticed that there was a repeating pattern of about 72 years between significant dates in American history as well as some other histories. For example, if you go from the time the U.S. Constitution was written in 1789 to the beginning of the Civil War, 1861, that's 72 years. Another 72 years takes us to 1933, the beginning of the New Deal, another major transformation of American society. If you go another 72 years, that took us to about 2005, exactly where Strauss and Howe had predicted a major crisis and change would occur. And in addition, if you look at the Russian Revolution, from 1917 to 1989 was about 72 years. So it seemed to fit with the life cycle of humans. In a cycle, four generations, 20 years apart, are shaped by when their childhood falls within that cycle. And the names they use in their book, The Fourth Turning, come from the biblical account of Exodus. For example, you have one generation as a prophet generation. Now think of Moses calling a generation to change, the next generation, the nomad generation, wandering in the wilderness, a period of crisis and restlessness. The following generation will be a hero generation. Think of the Joshua generation taking a promised land. That often involves a major war. And then finally, an artist generation, the generation that builds a new society. Well, where do Strauss and Howe think that we are in this cycle? The researchers see the millennial generation, those born between 1982 to 2004, as the hero generation. And they see our society entering a fourth turning, a crisis period where society will be fundamentally transformed as it was with the American Revolution, the Civil War, or the New Deal. And the last time we faced a fourth turning was the Great Depression and World War II. Strauss and Howe's predictions of 22 years ago now look prescient. And we can see the storm surge coming in our society at our time, just as if a hurricane was approaching the shore. Now, our government has been undermining the foundations of liberty for a long time. And the question is, will you be a sandbag to help hold up and protect liberty, or will you stand by as it gets swept away and we enter a new dark age of authoritarianism? I'm David Knight for the InfoWars.
Plant the seed in our home, and boys, let it grow where all can see. Feed it with our devotion, boys, call it the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated. And against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back, folks. And again, I apologize. I'm not David Knight. I'm doing my best to fill in as he takes some time to just kind of recover from this past week that's been going on. It's been very hard on our family. So again, I ask that you please pray for him. Please pray for all of us, especially pray for my mom. As you probably know, her twin brother passed away very suddenly and without warning. And it has been very hard on all of us. He was very dear to us and meant a lot to all of us. So please keep us in your prayers. I see people in chat talking about different bands they've gotten to see and talking about how they got to see Blue Oyster Cult, and that's really awesome. I notoriously have some of the worst taste in music that you can find. My wife continually points that out, and I make no bones about it. I like what I like, and I won't apologize for it. I have no formal training in music, and so I'm not beholden to know what's good. I can simply enjoy what I like and not have to worry about the fact that it sucks. I'm free. My ignorance shields me from all criticism. My hot take that I hit her with yesterday is that the Eagles are a better band than Queen ever was, that the Eagles are underrated, and that Queen is overrated. So make of that what you will. And that's my musical hot take for you of the moment. Also, my favorite Eagles song is Victim of Love. Victim of Love. Great song. And I want to right now say thank you to those who have contributed on Cash App. I want to say thank you to Christopher, Jason J, Dustin W, Brian P, Jeffrey A, Francis E. Thank you all so much. We really do appreciate it. Your support is what keeps this show going, and we cannot thank you enough. You are all what keeps the lights on here at the show. I also want to thank the people that have contributed on Zelle. Gretchen C, Maurice G, Julie W, Mary M, Sean S, Susan L, Kenneth C, Rose G, Julie W, Gregory I, Benjamin R, Michael P, Susan L, Michael P, Sally D, and Mitchell M. Thank you all so much. We really do appreciate it. Cannot thank you enough. I know I say the same thing every time, but it's just, we are truly grateful, and I don't know how else to say it. We cannot thank you all enough. We're at about 52% on the gas gauge right now. It's not going to be updated for a while. Keith was the one that did that. He did a lot of stuff for the website, and so that is not something we have access to right now, I don't believe. And we're still trying to get that figured out. But that, of course, is that's not the important thing. That's not what truly matters when it comes to him. Yeah. Anyway, moving along. Thank you all again for being here today. I really do appreciate it. We'll continue on with the news. And I just, again, want to thank you all and briefly remind you that you can go to rncstore.com. Yes, rncstore.com. Use promo code NIGHT for 10% off their health supplements. It's a good way to stay outside the medical establishment and hopefully protect your health. So rncstore.com, promo code NIGHT for 10% off. You can also get a PDF-free version of A World Without Cancer, G. Edward Griffin's book there. So go to rncstore.com. Use promo code NIGHT if any of the products there strike your fancy. Also, homesteadproducts.shop, and they're having a sale on their high-quality body scrubs. They're very, very dedicated to making sure their products are made in America and of the highest quality. And they're supporting fellow patriots, people that truly believe in liberty when you shop with them. You can also get 10% off and use promo code NIGHT there as well. So rncstore.com and homesteadproducts.shop. Go check them out. And of course, Tony Arterburn will be my guest today. He's coming on in at the bottom of the hour. And you go to davidknight.gold if you'd like to start stacking some gold or silver for yourself. We'll be talking about what's going on with the economy and gold and silver and crypto when he comes on. Tony always has a wealth of information. So go to davidknight.gold and check that out for yourself. Really do appreciate you all, and we'll keep this moving right along. I don't want to belabor the point. This is an article, and it's on Breitbart. Trump formally asks Israel's president to fully pardon Netanyahu, calls trial a political unjustified prosecution. Well, isn't that just nice? The Trump is out there fighting for Benjamin Netanyahu, because we all know if there's anyone that needs to be defended, it's Bibi.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
President Donald Trump formally requested Wednesday that Israeli President Isaac Herzog pardon Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, calling the corruption trial a political, unjustified prosecution in an official letter. Trump praised Netanyahu as a wartime leader now steering Israel toward peace, urging Herzog to end what he called lawfare against the Prime Minister. Benjamin Netanyahu is a saint. He's never done anything wrong in his life. In fact, he once rescued an entire orphanage that was burning down. The orphanage also was full of puppies. So that's what he's done. You'd be closer to the truth if you said that he did the opposite. It is my honor to write to you at this historic time as we have together just secured peace that has been sought for at least 3,000 years, Trump wrote, thanking Herzog and all Israelis for their gracious hospitality, noting he was addressing a key theme he raised in his Knesset remarks. As the great state of Israel and the amazing Jewish people move past the terribly difficult times of the last years, hereby I call on you to fully pardon Benjamin Netanyahu, who has been a formidable and decisive wartime prime minister. He is now leading Israel into a time of peace, which includes my continued work with key Middle East leaders to add many additional countries to the world-changing Abraham Accords, Trump wrote. That's right. Pardon Mr. Netanyahu. He never did anything wrong. He's a good boy. He's our friend. It's truly amazing how utterly devoted and sycophantic our politicians are to Israel. The going so far as to write letters, as to push for a pardon for Netanyahu. He can't even let this play out in their own country without jumping in to stand up for his good buddy Netanyahu. Nothing to see here. There's no reason to assume that Israel has undue influence on our politicians. We simply are involved in their affairs, they're involved in ours. AIPAC buys our politicians. Trump is out there campaigning for a pardon for the president of Israel. Well, nothing to see, nothing to worry about, I am sure. So you have a tip. Neurodivergent One, thank you very much. Says my meager contribution for the Knights of Truth. Keep fighting the good fight. I am forever grateful for all you do. God bless. Thank you so much, Neurodivergent One. That is very kind. I appreciate it. Cannot thank you enough. And again, just, I know I say the same thing every time, but thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know what else to say beyond that. And you all have seen so many cool concerts. So many amazing concerts are being talked about in chat. And I have never got to see any of the bands y'all are talking about. I did, however, my first concert, if you can believe it, was All That Remains, Story of the Year, Haste the Day, and The Devil Wears Prada. That will tell you, if you know those bands, you'll know exactly what type of show that was. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. But no, never got to see Fish or Styx, any of those wonderful classic bands, sadly. I'm very jealous, or envious, I should say, I suppose, of y'all's experiences in getting to see them. Well, let's keep it moving along with the actual news. And not me lamenting over the fact that I didn't get to see any of the classic rock bands. I actually, a side note, we're winging it now. We're having fun with it. Recently, last night actually, I discovered that Anthrax did a cover of Kansas's Carry On Wayward Son. And it's fantastic, actually. Absolutely fantastic. And I think I might actually like it a little better than the original, which very rarely happens. But what can you do? Anthrax has an amazing cover of Carry On Wayward Son, in case you didn't know. But for all I know, that's common knowledge, and I am just an ignorant, ignorant fool when it comes to music. I'm definitely an ignorant fool when it comes to music, but maybe not in this instance. Anyway, moving along, away from Kansas. We're not in Kansas anymore. Bitcoin showing signs of severe collapse. And this is something I want to get Tony Arterburn's take on when he comes on, because he has far more knowledge when it comes to crypto and the economy. Bitcoin has fallen fast, hard, and with no clear trigger. The OG cryptocurrency Bitcoin is having a horrible month. Well, get in line, Bitcoin. The token has wiped out hundreds of billions of dollars in total market value, dropping below 92,000 for the first time since mid-April. That's despite soaring to an all-time high over 126,000 a mere 6 weeks ago. A mere 6 weeks ago. It's been a bruising couple of weeks, and nobody is entirely clear on why. Even Bloomberg admitted that Bitcoin has fallen fast, hard, and with no clear trigger. They don't know what's causing it. Could be anything. One prevailing theory is economic uncertainty over dwindling hope that the U.S. Federal Reserve will lower interest rates next month.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lower rate usually leads to increased liquidity and more willingness to invest in more risky assets, like crypto. And crypto is, by nature, just the very definition of an intangible asset. It exists so long as the grid does. If you, again, I'm of the opinion, I think you can make a lot of money in cryptocurrency. I think if you're intelligent with your investing, investing is probably a great way to increase your net worth and your income. I don't know enough about it to feel comfortable investing or ever give investment advice. That is my opinion on it. I am sure there are people that do it wonderfully. I'm friends with some guys and they invest and they are big believers in it and they're, you know, all about it. And they seem to be doing very well. And I'm very happy for them. But to me, I'm always too nervous to ever pull the trigger. It always seems like a good way to lose. Always seems like I'm involved with some kind of casino. The general market is risk off. Bitwise Asset Management Chief Investment Officer Matthew Hogan told Bloomberg, crypto was the canary in the coal mine for that. It was the first to flinch. Experts say it's likely that there are several factors at play. The sell-off is a confluence of profit-taking by long-term holders, institutional outflows, macro uncertainty, and leveraged longs getting wiped out, Nansen senior research analyst Jake Canis told Bloomberg. What is clear is that the market has temporarily chosen a downward direction after a long period of consolidation and slash ranging. calls led investors to question the long-held assumption that Bitcoin was a hedge against inflation. As NBC News reports, with the digital currency's crash, company not defying a larger sell-off in the buzzy but tenuous AI market. And of course, as time goes on, we see more and more people talking about the AI bubble and the potential for an AI crash. And more people are pointing out that it mirrors very closely what happened with the, you know, dot-com bubble and then the dot-com burst, dot-com bust. People overinvested. They were investing in everything. There was just capital being thrown at anything and everything. And suddenly people realized, wait a minute, perhaps this wasn't the best idea. Now, that's an oversimplification of things. I was very young at the time, so I don't have clear memories. I don't remember people talking about the exact scenario. But from what I've read and seen over the years, this seems to be what happened. And it seems to be fairly closely tracking with AI. People have been investing in every AI company they can find. AI company goes public, and there's a line around the corner of people waiting to throw their money at them. Which doesn't seem to be the best idea anymore, because they're not really delivering returns. Even OpenAI, even something as big as ChatGPT, people are looking at it saying, are you guys going to turn a profit? And Sam Altman himself got very upset when asked about that. Remember, we talked about that on the show the other day, last week, I believe. Maybe it was longer than last week, but Sam Altman was not happy. He said, well, you know, if you want to sell your shares to the interviewer, we can find someone instantly to buy them. You don't get upset when someone questions you if you're doing well. If you've got nothing to worry about, if you are armed so strong in honesty that it passes you by like the idle breeze that you heed not, why get mad about it? If you don't have to worry about it, who cares? But Sam Altman does have to worry. He is sitting there and people are pointing out, hey, this looks a little funky. And so when you do that, you are threatening him, his business model. So he has to get mad. He has to get upset because it is a bubble. Well, this is again, we're not going through this in any particular order. I'm a bit chaotic today. I was up late last night trying to get the studio set up done. So I'm all over the place and I'm having a great time. But this article is from Breitbart and it is just a bit of fun. Chess boxing gaining popularity as a serious sport. Isn't that awesome? You can play chess and punch people in the face at the exact same time. Turns out that chess boxing is not only an actual sport, but an actual sport that has been gaining actual traction here in the United States. Well, this is something I need to get in on right away. Chess boxing involves exactly what its name promises. Two players spar in the ring for 3 minutes until the bell rings, after which they take off their gloves and go to the chess board for a time until they rotate back to the ring for another round. The match ends in a checkmate, a knockout, or a judge's decision. Now, I really wonder, my theory is that you just find a really, really good boxer. Ignore how good he is at chess, and you just go for KO after KO after KO. Why bother defeating your opponent intellectually when you can simply grind them into the dust? You don't need Magnus Carlsen. What you need is a Mike Tyson. Simple.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Everybody's got a plan until you punch them in the face. This simplifies everything. Why bother learning to play chess? You know what? It doesn't matter if you don't even know the names of the pieces, so long as you are simply capable of delivering a stronger punch and making sure that your opponent can't play the game. You are totally fine. That's what matters here. Why complicate things? And this is, again, just, I find it utterly absurd and completely hilarious, the lengths people are going to stave off boredom, whether it's the people involved with this or the people watching this. We are even taking our entertainment to ridiculous levels. It's not simply enough anymore to have your sports in separate fashion. No, we're going to do chess boxing. I'm for one waiting for them to do poker knife fighting. I think that would be really interesting. Oh, he's got a straight flush. Oh, but he's been stabbed in the kidneys. That's going to make it hard to play this next hand. That's what I'm waiting for. That's when I'll truly become interested. So if anyone out there involved with chess boxing can make poker knife fighting a thing, you know, just let me know and I'll be your most dedicated viewer. I promise. It is just, again, the absurd concentration of everything that we are involved with, whether it is entertainment or drugs or the pornography people consume. It all seems to be becoming more extreme and more absurd. And I think it's simply just because people are empty. The world is becoming more screwed up. There's less hope when it comes to anything and everything. So people need more and more ridiculous distractions. The bread and circuses have to start providing more bread and more circus per, more concentrated forms. That's what we're dealing with here. And it's truly strange to see. However, it is funny. It is funny. Can't deny chess boxing does sound entertaining. At least half of it. I'm not sure how people... maybe it's because I'm a big old dum-dum, but chess has never been something I enjoyed watching. You know, it's a great game. Not that I play, you know, you have to respect it, but it's really two guys sitting there moving little pieces around. It's not exactly fascinating to watch, but again, that could be because I'm a big old dum-dum. And in just news you didn't see coming, at least news I didn't expect, is Nicki Minaj being praising Trump for prioritizing Christian persecution in Nigeria. And it's just, we live in very strange times on the heading of just who expected this? Not me. How did it become just, why is she involved with this? Not faulting her for it. It's just I cannot understand how Nicki Minaj is somehow involved with geopolitics and is someone that we are sending to the United Nations to give speeches. I truly do not understand the world we live in anymore. Rap megastar Nicki Minaj praised Donald Trump for prioritizing the issue of the persecution and slaughter of Christians in Nigeria and thanked him for his leadership on the global stage and calling for actions on this issue. Again, just very, I truly do not understand how these people become involved with these things. And perhaps that is my fault, but who knows? And that is just under the heading of who saw this coming? We also have a Billie Eilish and Elon Musk feud, which, again, this is under the heading of, well, who really cares? Elon Musk mocks Billie Eilish after she called him a pathetic. A couple of words followed by the word coward. She's not the sharpest tool in the shed, was Elon Musk's mocking retort. What a zinger. Not the sharpest tool in the shed. Being the smartest man on the planet, allegedly, he's not very entertaining or rhetorically effective. Every time you hear Elon Musk speak, it's pretty boring, uninteresting, which is very strange for the world's smartest man. Eilish singled Musk out at the recent Wall Street Journal Innovator Awards, using her acceptance speech to castigate billionaires for allegedly hoarding their wealth when people need empathy and help more than kind of like ever, especially in our country.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, the singer further shared several Instagram stories from My Voice, My Choice, detailing the many world issues Elon Musk could solve with his vast wealth if only he gave it to others, as directed by her. That's right. If you were to just turn over your money to these people, they would absolutely know what to do with it, how to fix everything. Just turn it over. And, you know, we're not any fans of Elon Musk here, but this is part of the reason why so many people are desperate to defend Elon and Trump because of the enemies they have, because it's these privileged know-nothings. And privileged is such a charged word nowadays because of who generally uses it. But Billie Eilish is wealthy by the vast majority of standards. She is most likely a multimillionaire. Billie Eilish could probably afford to never take another dime from royalties and instead send all of that to a charity that's actually going to fix the world's problems, like she says. But instead, she's not doing that, is she? No. No, she's probably going to increase her spending when it comes to her lifestyle needs, because that's generally what happens. People don't tend to cut back. They tend to grow their expenses as their income grows. And so people can see this Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift jet setting around the world in her, you know, multi-million dollar jet. People like Al Gore lecturing us all on the climate agenda as he's a multimillionaire. It is just this level of hypocrisy that people see, and it makes them desperate to defend. Well, look who their enemies are. Look at this Billie Eilish character making fun of Elon Musk. I've got to defend him. And yeah, Billie Eilish is annoying. Yeah, she's ridiculous. Yeah, she's a hypocrite. That doesn't make Elon Musk a savior. That doesn't mean he's a hero. It doesn't mean he's a good person. But that's why so many people just immediately knee-jerk reaction want to defend them. Because the left has been so obnoxious and obviously hypocritical for so long that that's just what happens. They immediately just need to defend them. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
The David Knight Show. Listening to the David Knight Show.
This article comes from Responsible Statecraft. Pompeo to advise Ukraine weapons company accused of corruption. Surprise, the former Trump official who makes full-throated arguments for more aid to Kiev now stands to benefit directly from endless war there. What a shocker. Who could have seen that coming? Isn't that a surprise? I don't think it's really a surprise to anyone that's paying attention. That is simply... business as usual. You can see good old Pompeo there at the top of the article. Quickly rising to prominence in wartime, Firepoint is currently under scrutiny for its alleged price gouging practices and for its ties to Tymir Mindich, a Zelensky associate being investigated for corruption charges. Critics also charge that the company has an unfair monopoly over the drone market, earning about $1 billion this year.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Firepoint is now constructing a factory in Denmark. Pompeo's new role continues a pattern of reported wartime conflict of interest. RS reported last summer that Pompeo stood to benefit from the Trump peace plan he proposed in the Wall Street Journal, which called for Ukraine to join the EU for a $500 billion lend-lease program for Ukraine to buy U.S. weapons. As a director at prominent Ukrainian telecom company, Kyivstar, Pompeo would have stood to gain from the economic benefits Kyivstar realized through Ukraine's EU ascension had his peace plan been realized. And of course, this is more of the same. This is exactly what the U.S. always does. It's war profiteering. We're going to make money on all sides. Tony is just texting me. He says he is having issues with Zoom. He may not be able to join us, and I completely understand. Technology is a fickle, fickle master. It works when it wants to, and that is the delicacy, the delicacy of the grid that we all deal with here. Isn't that that's just how it is. We all are at the mercy of technology these days. We're going to continue to try to connect with Tony. If it happens, fantastic. We will get him on and we will discuss gold and silver. If not, I understand. And we will continue on with the show. I think I forgot to mention this earlier, but I do have an interview that I'm going to play for you in the third hour. It is the interview that my dad did with Zoe Smith, the medical whistleblower. It's a good interview, and it is worth watching in case you haven't seen it. I would like to use interviews during these. I like to use interviews for rebroadcasts because a lot of people may not have seen them, and they always provide such fantastic information. Like I said, with this Pompeo, this is more of the same. This is war profiteering, and they are utterly shameless about it at this point. Yeah, we're going to make money off this. What are you going to do to stop us? Raytheon needs another few hundred billion dollars, don't you know? And if the cost is a few hundred, few thousand, few hundred thousand dead, who cares? What does it matter? It doesn't matter to Raytheon. And that's fine by them. All right. Well, we'll move along from Pompeo. Take a look at this article from RT. And it says, French jets won't help Ukraine. And this is coming from the Kremlin. Ukraine's potential purchase of French-made Rafale fighter jets will not alter the situation on the battlefield in Kiev's favor, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said on Tuesday. And of course, it's not just a matter of the jets. This article also goes on to point this out, but you can have all the, you know, gear and tech in the world, but if you don't have the people to man them and fly them or utilize them, it doesn't matter. You can reduce the number of people you need, you know, working towards drone warfare and all that. But if Kyiv does not have the fighter pilots, then these fighter jets don't do them any good. And in this article, it details how, like, yeah, we're actually going to train the Ukrainians on it. And it's a 10-year plan. 10-year plan. How long do they think this war is going to drag on? How long do they think it will continue? That is another just sign that they don't intend this to ever stop. No, we're going to continue this forever and ever and ever. Endless war. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to take a quick break. I've got a couple more tech issues to sort out, and hopefully we'll be back at full strength when I return. Stay with us.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, welcome back, folks. And joining me now is Tony Arterburn. We have foiled the plots of the technological assassins. We're back online. So thank you for joining me today, Tony. Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you again for joining us. And I just want to get your take on what's going on with the gold and silver markets, as well as crypto. People are starting to worry about Bitcoin. They're looking at it saying, it's kind of crashing right now. And we don't know why. We don't understand it. No one really does. But it seems to be crashing. And isn't that odd? Isn't that strange?
I don't think it's that strange, honestly. It's a supply issue with Bitcoin, and there's not a lot of supply. I mean, the exchanges have somewhere around 2 million Bitcoin tops, and there's supposed to be like a 21 million supply, but that's really only about 16 million. So I think what you're watching is a shakeout. And I'm not alone on this, but as far as what's happening with Bitcoin, I think it's a manufactured crash. There are market conditions for liquidation as we reached the all-time high in October, and there was a big sell-off from some older wallets and people that have held, individuals have held for a long time. But the metrics still are true, and less individuals have just one Bitcoin, Travis. It is less than 850,000 people around the world hold at least one Bitcoin, and that number is shrinking because of institutions. So if you ask me, this is also something that's happening, I think, on the gold and silver realm, is that regular people are being shaken out of their Bitcoin so that whales and institutions can gobble it up. And I think, you go back to when Larry Fink from BlackRock goes to Davos, goes to the World Economic Forum last year and says, hey, a Bitcoin is going to go to 700,000. And I thought, wow, that's at the time, if you overlaid that price for Bitcoin, it would be the exact market cap for what gold was at the time. And Larry Fink's not a fan of gold. BlackRock's not a fan of gold, physical gold, because he believes it disrupts the financial system. That same thing that the European Central Bank said about gold this last year is that gold is a threat to the economic order because it's supplanted.
If there's ever an endorsement for gold, it's someone like Larry Fink coming out and saying, no, I don't like that stuff. You know?
Right.
If you ever needed a sign, it's Larry Fink.
And to be clear, he's talking about physical gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Larry Fink was talking about physical gold and silver and thought it disrupted developing nations. What does that even mean? I think what we're watching here is a shakeout because there is a hard cap limited supply of Bitcoin. And yeah, you can manipulate it in some ways, but at the end of the day, there's only supposed to be 21 million in the system. And again, there's less than that because you got Satoshi's wallets and the millions of Bitcoin that are lost forever in landfills or what have you. So I think that's what we're watching. And that's not me being bullish on Bitcoin and telling you it's going to be 200,000 by the end of the year or some crazy thing. It may crash further, and it may crash further for this exact reason. I think if you just do the math a year from now and we do the same metrics, less individuals will hold at least one Bitcoin and more institutions will hold more.
I've also, as you say, you know, people are being forced out, as that seems to be the way everything goes nowadays. You know, whether it's BlackRock buying up houses or this happening with Bitcoin, the average person is just being forced out of basically every market. The only thing that you're going to be allowed to buy, it seems, is consumer goods. And even then, the prices are going up so dramatically on that you can't even afford those things. Your, you know, little playthings that make your slavery somewhat bearable are getting removed from you. Just like, no, well, you can't have a house, but you can enjoy your video games. Well, no, we took the video games and we made them lame and gay. You can't have that. The movies are lame and gay. Can't have that. Just every single thing, even the distractions, are being peeled away at this point. And we're kind of facing down to the barrel of just this, the coming hardships, as it were. And I've also been curious of how much of this is, you know, maybe like you said, you know, the people who own just one singular Bitcoin or small portions of it as an investment, like, I don't have enough income coming in. I have to sell out. The economy is so bad that I just need an infusion of cash right now. I need to have some money. How much of this is that? And I, you know, there's no real way to quantify that. It's simply speculation on my part, but it does seem like it's a possibility that things are just expensive, that the economy is bad, that people are jobless. And these guys that were, you know, oh, I'm going to hold, have reached a point where it's just, well, I can't anymore. You know, if it's between me selling my Bitcoin, which may eventually make me rich, or me starving right now and losing my house, that's an easy choice to make. I mean, it's not easy, but there's an obvious answer to it. Just like, well, I guess the Bitcoin has to go.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And it's just...
Yeah, of course.
BlackRock never has to make that kind of choice. BlackRock has an infinite supply of money. They can hold Bitcoin as the world burns around them forever, and it'll be fine. And it's just... Again, this
is
why...
I think that's the plan.
Yeah, this is why, again, just the volatility of crypto has always been why I thought for the, you know, I thought it was funny as a meme, which is why, again, I'm sure you've heard the story. I bought Dogecoin. I bought a bunch of it when it was really, really cheap because, like, oh, it's Doge. I'll buy $100 of it and it'll be a goofy, funny story. You know, I don't have any expenses. $100, that's nothing at that time. And then it goes to the moon, and I'm one of the idiots that lost my password, of course. So that's a fortune gone. You know, easy come, easy go. And
well, don't feel so bad. I remember I bought my first Bitcoin ATM, and I was broke. I mean, I saw people using it at one of my family's convenience stores. We had somebody leasing a space, and I thought, what is that? And I go, I knew what Bitcoin was. So I go and buy a little bit of Bitcoin, and I realized it was trading for $380. So instead of buying the Bitcoin, I bought Bitcoin ATMs because I wanted to be a retailer. I should have just bought the Bitcoin. could have done far better. So you're not alone. And I think of all the Bitcoin that's passed through my hands, you know, through my business. So no, there's no way to know, you know, you can't see the future that, you know, Bitcoin again, was it 2017 hit? At the end of the year, 25,000, and 2021, 60 some odd thousand, and crashed again. I was at the Bitcoin conference in Nashville in 24. It was trading at 63,000. I decided to buy more with my company daily after that. And of course, 100,000 by the end of 24. Then what? We've been kind of flat. We hit a all time high in October, but, I think this is another push to separate regular people from assets, Travis. And by the way, Bitcoin's not alone in this. I'm seeing massive liquidations of silver, and people come into my shops both in Texas and Missouri, and they're like, hey, can I get cash? I'm like, well, it's really hard for me to do that. Everybody's selling me stuff, and then there's almost no buyers. So I have to sell, especially the large orders, I have to take to the trading house, and it takes up to 2 weeks to get paid now. That silver's floating up to something else. And that's, well, of course, the gold too. But I'm seeing that more and more and more in these massive liquidations from regular people, because you're right, the economy is very weak. Inflation is eaten into, like metastasized into everything that we do, driving prices up, weakening the dollar, weakening your savings, causing shortfalls. And so I see that everyday people selling, and it's going to institutions. Kitco had a great article. It's up right now. It's the silver has its fifth annual supply deficit. So it's like a, you know, 200-300 million ounces of supply deficit a year, which means the above ground supply has to, you know, be taken from in order to fuel just development, and whether, you know, it's technological or medical or monetary or whatever it is. So there's not enough mining going on. So same thing with Bitcoin. It's, you know, it is a magic trick in so many ways. And I think that's what, in my opinion, and it's a contrarian opinion, but I think that regular people are being shaken out of assets right now so that the super elite can, because who wants to buy stocks? Who wants to go into this?
Yeah.
You really want to go into this like 100 times earning over leveraged zombie corporation, you know, wasteland? I don't think so.
Yeah. I talked briefly about investing earlier, and my, the only thing I could say is, you know, I have no advice to give on it. I personally don't invest because, you know, the market doesn't seem to play fair. Like, I know guys who are big on investing and they seem to be doing well for themselves. And there are guys that swear by, you know, oh, I invest in these specific companies and I get a return. And, you know, that's great for them. I'm happy for them. You know, I want them to succeed. I want them to be able to build a nest egg. It's just investing has always been something that I'm leery of. It's always felt to me like I'm walking into a casino and I can't see the sucker at the table, which means, you know, surprise, surprise, it's me. You know, when you're betting, when you've got BlackRock on one side of you and Vanguard on the other, and you're sitting in between them like, oh boy, I'm sure going to play at this table with these guys. So you're probably not making it out of there alive. Like, there's sharks in these waters. The market isn't fair, you know, at any time.
It's rigged at the top. It's rigged through technology. It's rigged through, I mean, nanoseconds of trading prior to, I mean, if there's a big push for a stock, I was just listening to a podcast on this that is breaking it down. I think they had a 60 Minutes report on it.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It was just basically the AI that's built into it now. It's hard to find value. So if you, by the way, I'm all for investing, and you're right. People are.
We lost connection with Tony briefly. Hopefully it reconnects.
Window. But, I mean, I'm going to look at something
Tony,
that's going to be years out.
We lost you briefly. Would you go back just about, you know, 10 seconds and recap what
sure.
you just said?
I was just I'm saying I'm a trader. I'm not a day trader. I'm an entrepreneur, and I have a much longer window, much longer horizon than what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm more like, hey, what's going to happen 3 and 5 years out? So I'm all for, you know, I'm all for investment, but I just, and there's people that do really well, so I don't want to take that away from them. But personally, me, I look at this and it's a clown show, you know, when it comes to finance. I mean, fiat currency is failing all around the world. So what are you pricing these stocks in? I mean, if you take the stocks and the S&P 500 and everything else, and you look at what the performance against inflation, it's not great. It's not like it didn't do as well as you think it did. It just looks that way because you've got these, you know, 10x returns or whatever it is. Well, if your currency's failing, you didn't really increase. You just outpaced inflation, or maybe you're neutral. Well, that's what gold and silver do. And theoretically, that's what Bitcoin's supposed to do. It's Bitcoin's having a bad run in the last 9 months or so. And it, again, could be manufactured so they can reset this thing. I don't think that BlackRock's going to be denied its return.
Yeah, you're not going to take BlackRock's birthright from it. Its birthright is apparently the entire world. They're going to buy it all eventually, and nothing will stand in their way. I want to ask, what's on your radar with gold and silver? We talked about how, what you said, that article from Kitco where silver faces fifth annual supply deficit. What else is going on with gold and silver, and what do you have going on at Wise Wolf Gold? And, of course, you can go to davidknight.gold if you guys want
That's right.
to pick up some gold or silver.
Well, I think what we talked about earlier is,
we're having connection issues. Tony is frozen again, but he will be right back, and we'll continue to talk about what's going on with gold and silver. But again, go to davidknight.gold to get yourself some
gold. It goes both ways, so I don't want
to
say...
Sorry to interrupt you again, Tony, but you froze for a minute.
Did I really?
Yeah. But if you, again, we just go back about 10 seconds and recap, that'd be great.
Oh, sure. Well, I would just encourage people, if you're... And again, I love to buy people's silver and buy people's gold. That we make a living off that. But I am concerned that the average person is being stripped of their physical precious metals in this time. And there's a transfer of wealth happening. And I know people need to sell. Again, that's how, I mean, I make a living off this. So it's counterintuitive for me to even say, like, hold your product. Like, you should hold that gold and silver as long as you can. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes I have to liquidate because of cash positions and cash flow. So I understand it. But I think the most important thing to watch, this is big picture macro stuff, Travis. But it's flowing upwards to institutions, large holders, investment capital, way past the average person. And it's going to drive, you know, the price is being driven by consumption. Okay. This basic economics, somebody's consuming it. Somebody's consuming the gold. Somebody's consuming the silver. And then there's also the uncertainty in the markets, you know, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And like your dad said, it's the Fed and the FUD that drive this. And the Fed's going to, you think we've seen gold and silver prices spike recently? Wait till next year. Holy moly. Did you see the cover of the Economist magazine?
No, I did not.
This Rothschild. Oh. Rothschild, you know, controlled, and they're the main owners of the Economist magazine. Surprise, surprise. But you should look at, there's a headline up on Drudge about the cover of, it's just famine, pestilence, and war predicted for 2026, this predictive programming stuff, of which, you know, they would be delighted if that all kicks off, because, you know, they fund both sides. All these the super elite, we know this story, and they'd like for you to have this dark, view, the bleak view of the future. It doesn't have to be that way, but that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. We're being, you know, shaken out of our positions, and there's a transfer of wealth happening right now, the likes of which I don't think has ever been.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the healthcare and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweets coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Seen before.
Yeah, it's I think when you say, you know, it's never been seen before, never before has so much wealth been so intangible and liquid. So much of it is just, you know, ethereal. And when someone doesn't physically hold their wealth, it's a lot easier to siphon it off of them. You know, these assets just, you know, they vanish overnight sometimes. Oh, whoops. You know, even, you know, the dollar, you can be still with inflation, but at least then you have the physical thing. Whereas stocks, you know, they're not real. You don't actually own a piece of that company. Like, you can't go in and say, well, I would like my value in whatever materials you have here. If you show up with a piece of paper, they're going to laugh you out of the room. Like, if the company goes to zero, you're not going to be like, well, can I at least get my value in steel or whatever the building is? And it's just, people are... It's so easy to take people for absolutely everything when everything is being traded on. And you're like, oh, well, you know, we're going to repackage these subprime assets and someone else will buy it. And then someone else repackages that and sells it on down the line. And it's just this continual, you know, everything just gets shakier and shakier. And as someone who, you know, doesn't have a huge background in this, every time I look at the economy, I just get uneasy because I truly do not understand how it hasn't all come tumbling down. You know, as a layman, you look at it and you go, surely this house of cards, like it's almost like it's levitating. You know, there's no bottom rung. The house of cards is just there in space. And you're looking at it, it's like, that's not right. No, something is wrong here. The laws of physics, the rules of the world aren't applying for some reason. And I don't know, you know, it's like my dad always says, Wile E. Coyote has run out off the cliff and he just hasn't looked down yet. All it takes is someone to look down and say, oh no, oh, I've made a mistake. And then everything goes. At least that's the way it seems to me. But because, again, you got these players like BlackRock or Vanguard and guys like Larry Fink in charge of them, who knows how long they can sustain this unreality. They've got billions or trillions of dollars at their disposal. And as such, maybe the rules don't apply. Maybe they can string this on forever. Maybe they can, you know, maybe we'll all be living in palaces of gold one day, thanks to them. But I'm not holding my breath.
I think you've got a great point there. And you look at the actual metrics of the world economy, and this is something that I first saw, like, just displayed in Nashville last year with Michael Saylor, and he was given a presentation, and I thought, I've never seen it put that way. And it was just blocks. I've talked about this many times, but it was like blocks and blocks of where on this graph, on this giant screen, and it was like, you know, sovereign wealth funds, real estate, you know, stock markets. It has all, where all the wealth in the world supposedly is. That's you, like you mentioned, it's liquid, right? Yeah. And it was like beyond like 600 trillion or whatever it is. And then it shows like these tiny little boxes over on the left hand side in the corner. And it was, gold, silver, and Bitcoin. Like these, like, and of course gold, like over 20 trillion market cap now. And I think, Bitcoin's like two, it's lost, 2 trillion, another 2 trillion, something like that. In a sea of hundreds, supposedly hundreds of trillions, and the actual like finite money is only like a couple. That doesn't make any sense. And, that's why I think there's something going on now. A lot of this stuff that isn't real is being liquidated or repurposed into the real. And, meanwhile, the economy is in the tank. I mean, it's only propped up because they just run the printing press, Travis. I mean, that's. Yeah. If you look at December 1st is when officially the Fed is going to stop quantitative tightening, which have they, you know, I don't know what kind of good they've actually done. They've raised interest rates a lot and then they've lowered them again. So that supposedly December 1st quantitative tightening or the policy of it stops and then, Jerome Powell's out. And I think after that, I think the money printer go burr. That's what I think. I think they do that until the system resets. And, all bets are off on what pricing is. I think it's going to be a different, currency system. Currencies are failing around the world. This is a currency issue.
Yeah. I saw an article and I don't know how I didn't grab it. I thought I did, but it just, you know, Trump saying, oh, I want to fire Jerome Powell. I'd love to fire him. And it's just, you know, the Fed saying, I want to fire the Fed chair. Oh, it'd be great to do that. And Breitbart was reporting on it without any real commentary on it. They didn't point out the fact that, well, he can't fire the Fed chair, can he?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And I don't know how much of that is just an assumption on their part that, you know, oh, their audience knows that the Fed chair is not beholden to the president and, you know, doesn't have to answer to anyone in government. Or how much of that is just wanting to, you know, give Trump this aura of, oh, he's a tough guy. Look how he's talking to the Fed chair. Look at what he's doing. Oh, I'd love to fire that guy. Maybe he's going to do it, except he can't. He can't. He's the Fed chair gets to sit there and do whatever he wants, and the president is just going to twiddle his thumbs and pretend to be a tough guy. But
he's going to fire Fauci, too.
Yeah.
No, don't forget that.
No, didn't fire Fauci. All these guys that did so much for the American people, such wonderful fellas. Trump.
Breitbart didn't run it through its Tel Aviv filter. You know, it's like Breitbart just gets you to the edge of what the thing is. And then they're just like, you know, they just kind of leave you. It's so, you know, so funny that a lot of those outlets are the same way. And you're absolutely right. What does that say about the presidency? What does that say about who runs this country? Mm. You're talking about you have literally someone follows the president around with a briefcase handcuffed to them. It's called the football. It has the launch codes for nuclear weapons, but you can't fire the head of the central bank?
What? I know. It seems to me we have all the worst elements of, you know, an authoritarian regime without any of the benefits, the alleged benefits that people talk about of, well, you can have decisive action. You got one guy that's in control, and he makes the choices, and his word is law. And when he says, you know, jump, everyone says how high. Trump just kind of meanders around and sets terrible precedents that someone else will come in and abuse later, and then just wanders off. And he's like, oh, well, I would have loved to have done something, but, you know, what can I do? If you really were this tough guy that you're talking about, if you really were the guy that people seem to think you are, wouldn't you have marched the Marines into the Fed offices and frog marched everyone off and just been like, well, you know, you guys have admitted to tanking the economy on multiple occasions, and sure, you keep promising, well, we learned our lesson. We won't do it again. We promise this time. But you haven't.
That's how you know. That's how you know it's a pageant, because that's national security, by the way. I mean, what other priority in national, other than a direct imminent threat, would be, it'd be your money. Right? Your money is the number one priority to protect. Would be the functioning of your economy, the actual, the lifeblood of it. And right now it's poisoned.
Yeah.
So like the near fact that you don't do anything about it. And we'll look back and I think Jerome Powell will be seen as a very moderate player in all this. As a very moderate, you know, not on the fringes, not crazy. Because I think what they're going to do in 2026 is going to dwarf all past experiences with what the Fed does and the linkage between the Treasury and the Fed. Not that they're that unlinked, but I think it'll just be a fusion. You won't know where one begins and the other ends after next year. And then it'll just be, I think that's when we're headed to the finish line of 2030 at that point.
I'm so excited for the new hybrid tyrannies they're working on. You know, the old tyrannies are just so passe and boring now. I really need a chimera tyranny to come in and ruin my life. It's not enough for the old ones at this point. So, like I said, what have you got going on at Wise Wolf Gold? And what's going on with Wolfpack? I know you've been, you know, working like a dog constantly, just trying to keep things, you know, running smoothly for the people who subscribe to Wolfpack. How's that going?
It's going well. I mean, it's a job that I'm born to do. So I love it. Yeah. And I do get kind of sideways because I go back and forth between Texas and Missouri, and it's like a supply thing and getting stuff back and forth. I'm in Texas right now. But no, I love it. And I think, as long as we can keep the supply, rolling in and, it's not flowing up to these faceless, soulless, giant corporations, don't do that, people. I think it's a limited supply, by the way, Travis. I mean, this is what I'm noticing about physical gold and silver is that, and that's why I've got it on my notes. I'm going to talk to, Yekka after the show. I just started thinking, you know, they got rid of the penny this year. Well, why don't we buy, I think Wolfpack ought to have, go back to the copper pennies pre-1982. We should start putting few in. I mean, that's real tangible assets. That's a real asset. Even a copper penny prior to 1982 is worth something. It's worth more than a cent. It costs 14 cents to make a nickel.
To me, it's amazing how quietly that happened too. You know, the penny is gone. You know, it's not going to be manufactured anymore. This is, you know, sure, it's 1 cent.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
But 1 cent used to actually be worth having. You know, people used to actually be able to buy things with a penny. That's how far we've come, that a penny is now not even worth, you know, they finally looked at it and said, nah, and they just scrapped it. And it's just, everyone is fine with it because they realize that carrying a penny around with you is such a waste of time and effort.
You know, yes.
It's gone. And that's how far our money has fallen. We are just getting rid of it. We're discarding the penny. And if they're going to discard the penny, how long until they look at the nickel and go, well,
It costs 14 cents to make a nickel now.
Mm. It's just.
So they won't. They'll get rid of the nickel too. And that's really about, we've saw this at the beginning of COVID 1984 when the money was dirty.
Oh, you don't want that cash. Dirty cash.
Dirty cash. You know, we can't do that. It's the invisible.
The guys I feel really bad for are these Colombian drug lords. Where are they going to get their hundreds to snort their cocaine with if the United States isn't just endlessly printing them? And I feel really sorry for them. You know, it's going to be difficult.
They'll have to do like CIA bucks or something.
Maybe the CIA can print little vouchers, you know. This is.
They have its own, like, they'll do little loadable debit cards or something like that. The gift cards.
That's right. They can use the gift card to chop the cocaine and then, you know, another CIA doodad to snort it. This is perfect. This
easy. We're figuring it out. But yeah, the cash is under assault and they're going to get rid of the penny. So I thought about, well, what if I bring back copper pennies? I mean, like wheat pennies and stuff. And I could buy them for, you know, a discount on wholesale or platinum. I mean, I'm talking about bringing platinum in. Platinum is, had a great run in the last 12 months. And I think it's only, I mean, again, these are precious metals and things that are finite resources that power the world and make the world go round. I don't think they're going to go down in price in a realm where fiat currency is imploding. So I'm thinking about bringing some other items into Wolfpack and some stuff that we haven't done before, just for variety and because the dollar's lost 50% or more of its purchasing power against gold in the last 12 months. I didn't make that call, Travis. I didn't say that was going to happen last year. I'm not that kind of prognosticator. I just know that on a long enough timeline, it would happen.
That's one of those ones where you have, like, that's Babe Ruth level calling your shots. Because anyone that would have said that would have probably been laughed out of the building. You're insane. There's no way that happens. That's crazy talk. And sure enough, here we are. And the dollar doesn't show any signs of slowing down. So, again, Wolfpack. You can go to davidknight.gold, start accumulating gold or silver. And we started a little bit late, so I've kept you a little bit long. Tony, I know that you've got all kinds of stuff going on. I don't want to keep you too much. So, again, Wolfpack and go to davidknight.gold and start accumulating. Anything else you want to leave the folks with, Tony?
Sure. I'll be doing my radio show here at 11 a.m. Central Time. So I'm going to go prep for that. So find me over on Rumble, an America Unplugged channel, or on my X at Tony Arterburn.
Thank you so much for joining us, Tony. And again, davidknight.gold. I'm now going to turn you over to the Zoe Smith interview my dad did. And I will see you all on Monday. Bye-bye.
Welcome back, and joining us now is Zoe Smith. She has set up a website, thrillkillmedicalcult.com. You can also find her on Substack. The name of the Substack is Zoe, that's Z-O-W-E, .substack.com. And we want to talk to her about being a whistleblower and the things that she saw during the pandemic lockdown. Zoe worked as a medical coder for over a decade. Tell us a little bit about that. What was that involved with? Was that for insurance purposes, identifying the procedures and putting the right code on it?
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the invite. Thanks for being here. So a medical coder, a lot of people don't even know that it exists because you don't really see it as a patient. But everything that happens to you in a hospital, clinic, x-ray, lab, whatever, has to have a diagnosis and procedure assigned, and that's how your doctor gets paid. So the coder is the one who reviews that documentation, assigns the right diagnosis code, assigns the right procedure code, and that's what gets put on the bill and that your insurance or Medicare uses to pay your doctor or the lab or the hospital for their services.
Yes.
So it was really boring until COVID happened. And then,
you had a bird's eye view of what was going on. Now, I was just telling you off air, I said the aha moment for me was the AHA, the American Hospital Association. And I believe it was August of 2020. I've talked about this many times. They got very upset because they said to CMS, who was paying them, they said, "You told us that we didn't have to have a PCR documentation for this. You said that you didn't have enough of them, and you said they didn't work. And you said we just point at somebody to a clinical diagnosis, and you would give us a 20% bonus on everything that we did to the people, as well as the upfront cash bonus of $13,000. And now you want to have this this new requirement. You know, that's not fair. So they were complaining because they weren't getting paid, and it kind of exposed the whole thing, except nobody would cover that. It was amazing to me how there was dead silence everywhere about that. I mean, you incentivize people to that degree, and I would always say to people, look, the money is the issue. You know, the declaration of the emergency by Trump unleashed the money, and then they put out these rules through CMS and paid these people to kill, is really what was happening.
Absolutely.
And that's what you saw as well, right?
Yeah, that's they did. I don't know if you're familiar with the vaxxed bus, but Children's Health Defense, they sent out a third one. So they've done a part one, part two, and now part three. The part three is called Authorized to Kill for that reason, because the CARES Act really did. It incentivized a behavior change in hospitals and with physicians and how they were able to practice medicine. It set everything on its head, and it incentivized everything. What you're talking about, what the AHA said about you didn't even need a PCR test result to get that COVID diagnosis is absolutely correct. And that was one of the things that I noticed in the Pandora's box of things that changed right in at when they declared 2 weeks to flatten the curve in March of 2020. They changed all the coding rules as well. So they April 1st, 2020 is when the COVID-19 diagnosis went into effect. And we were actually told to commit fraud before that time because we didn't have a code to reflect COVID-19, and we needed to track that so much. And of course, everyone had to get the PCR test in order to get the diagnosis. But then there was this official coding guideline, which is what we use as coders. It's like our Bible. It tells us what's correct, what's fraud, and it's essentially, it lays out the rules. And in those rules, there's a part that says, in order to be diagnosed with COVID-19, all your physician needs to do is write down in their medical opinion that they think that you have COVID-19. They didn't need to do an exam. They didn't need to have a PCR test result. And it says right in that official guideline, this is an exception to Section 2H inpatient coding guidelines, which says for every other diagnosis, they have to do an exam and they have to have some sort of clinical documentation, usually some sort of lab work or diagnostics to prove their working diagnosis. So COVID was an exception for that. And that was one of the really big red flags that came up for me. And of course, I noticed in my position, not only is everyone getting this PCR test when we come in, they're not all sick. But then they get this COVID-19 diagnosis. And the part that most people, that still a lot of people aren't familiar with, is when they did the 2 weeks to flatten the curve and they locked down everybody, they actually kicked people out of the ICU early.
Yeah.
And they shut down other wings of the hospital. They went down to a skeleton crew, so they consolidated wings within the hospital. So the ER and the ICU stayed open, but the rest of the hospital was shut down. We were getting furloughed and laid off and hiring freezes and no raises, no bonuses during the time when the media was saying, these healthcare heroes are showing up to fight the onslaught of COVID-19 patients. Well, it was an onslaught of false positive tests, but it wasn't an onslaught of a whole bunch of patients. We were getting furloughed. So the hospital really, really needed that money because they were bankrupted right before those incentives came out. So they really needed those incentives.
Yeah.
So they were absolutely excited to label someone as COVID-19 and get that 20% diagnosis and then hook them up to the ventilator, which they got another bonus for.
Oh, yeah.
And then the remdesivir, which they were giving out like candy during this entire time. The bonus really didn't go into effect until August of 2020, but they were using it from about April all the way through. And I noticed how the protocols were killing people. And doctors would just say, oh, this is a progression of COVID-19. And to this day, a lot of people will say, I had a family member that died of COVID. They went to the hospital because they had COVID and they died of COVID. But I asked them, did they really die of COVID or did they die of the protocol? Were they not that sick until they got there and then they circled the drain? Because in my experience, most of the patients within sometimes a few days to sometimes it took up to a month, but those protocols were killing people, shutting down their organs, and then they would die. And that wasn't normal to have that happen to a pneumonia patient. Normally, they'd be there 3 days. We pump them full of antibiotics, which we weren't using for COVID-19, and then they would go home. So this was totally backwards. And then I started to notice all the incentives, because even as a coder, they have all these checks and balances in the electronic medical record system. And it counts against you if you miss something. So like if I missed someone for COVID-19, I would get a notice about it. Like, oh, this is going to count against your score and might not get a raise this year because you weren't a good coder. And they were watching that for remdesivir because the bonuses were so much. On the bill, every single remdesivir infusion was $4,000, give or take a little bit throughout the country because it's weighted based on like where you live. So it'd be more expensive in New York or California, but around $4,000 per dose is how much they were getting.
Yeah, the ventilators. I interviewed a woman who was a nurse. She wrote a book called Pandemic Nurse, and she was in Florida, and she said, I wasn't seeing, you know, the kind of narrative that they were talking about with the pandemic, and everybody was saying it was all happening up in New York. So she left and went to New York to help and sat around for a couple of days before, after she told them she was there, before they brought her in. When they finally did bring her in, she's like, you know, what's going on? They're not busy either. When they brought her in, physician walked around, showed the people on the ventilators, and said, you know, about 90% of these people are going to die. And she said it was horrible. They were just killing people. And of course, when you look at it, if you get a $13,000 bonus for pointing at somebody and saying they got COVID, they may not even be sick, as you pointed out. Then if you put them on a ventilator you get $39,000. Already right there, you got $52,000 for a machine that costs you $50,000. And then they will pay you 20% on the charges that you've got for them to use it until you kill them with that ventilator. And again, pulmonologists were looking at this and come back and said, this never made any sense. We never did it like, as you're pointing out, they give people antibiotics and other things like that. So we would never put people on a ventilator, you know, for pneumonia or things like that.
Exactly.
All of it was so incredibly corrupt and counterintuitive, and they turned the hospitals into killing machines for money. And everybody was willing to do that. I mean, if you got somebody that's there, even if it wasn't an economic emergency that had been created partially by the government, you know, if you were to tell somebody, you point to that person and say they've got this condition, I'll give you $13,000. We know how human nature works, and we know how the corporate hospitals work. I mean, the incentives to do that are going to be huge, just like the disincentives to report somebody when they've had a reaction to the vaccines are going to be huge as well. Were you still there when they started the vaccination program, or had you left? Because you say that you left when they made the vaccine mandatory. Did you see it happening before that?
I started to wake up during, really when they started declaring 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and I started seeing people wearing masks in public. I knew this was not a pandemic, and there was some kind of psychological operation going on. Because I had worked in the hospital for the swine flu scare, and it wasn't a thing in the hospital. Like, it was just regular flu. I've even talked to people that were on the front lines, like ER doctors and nurses, and they said, some of them even said that they got it and it wasn't that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. So when they declared COVID, I was really suspicious. This is just going to be another vaccination campaign, because they already had mandates for the flu shot for healthcare workers for like a decade before that. And I had been doing the exemption every year. And the reason I did that is because the first year that they made healthcare workers get the flu shot, everybody was getting the flu.
Yeah.
And so that was the year that we came up with the, it was just a rumor within the university lab where I worked, but everybody was saying it, that you get the flu from the flu shot. So ever since then, I just didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. So during that whole year of Operation Warp Speed, the only thing that's going to get us back to normal is this vaccine. I thought, this, if the flu shot never worked, the chances that the COVID shot is going to work is slim to nil. And the amount of pressure for this one compared to the flu shot is astronomical. So there's something to it. So that made me actually not just look at the COVID shot, but look at all the other vaccines. Mm-hmm. And what I learned was they don't teach coders or doctors or nurses anything about vaccine side effects or adverse effects, despite the fact that they have codes to assign for vaccine effects. But I would see patients come in with like Guillain-Barré before this, and the doctors would try very hard not to relate it to a vaccine. And there would be codes in there, like adverse effect of flu shot or adverse effect of whatever. And those are supposed to be like a safety signal code. Like, one of the reasons why the ICD-10 system, which is owned by the WHO, by the way, so every member state that is part of the WHO has to report these codes, and it's for statistical monitoring purposes. So this is how they monitor pandemics. This is how they monitor cancer, like how many cases of cancer there are throughout the world, or heart problems or pneumonia cases. This is the system that they use. And it's also supposed to be used starting in clinical trials for devices and drugs to look for a safety signal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I thought with this COVID-19 vaccine, there should be a code for adverse effect of this shot, and it should be my job to assign it. So I did my due diligence, and I looked into all the warnings and what could happen if people got the shot. And then I looked at what could happen if people got the other vaccines. And I started to realize that they had been varying all of the effects that people would get from vaccines and not assigning these adverse effect codes up until 2020. And then when the COVID-19 vaccine came out, there was no code to report it. So it should have been my job to collect that danger signal. And I even went on a podcast called Deborah Gets Red Pill. It was just a radio show in early 2021, right after I quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, the COVID-19 vaccine is more dangerous than all of the other vaccines combined.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just an observation, but it was 10 years of medical coding experience. And then learning what I learned about vaccine side effects And all the cases that I saw of children in the ER constantly having eczema or rashes or even anaphylactic responses. And then I look at the record, they just got a vaccine, but the doctor's not connecting the two. Mm-hmm. So when COVID-19 came out, people were having strokes and encephalitis and blood clots like I've never seen before. Myocarditis, they were getting COVID-19 immediately after getting the shot, like the same day or the next day, and then being hospitalized. There are people with paralytic problems, seizure disorders, blood disorders, where they couldn't even figure out what was going on because the patient was clotting and bleeding at the same time, and they didn't even know how to treat it.
Wow.
Crazy stuff started happening just in the first 4 months of the vaccine rollout. So it wasn't even available to the rest of the public yet. Mm-hmm. But by summer of 2021 is when they started saying, you at home, like this is the hospital leadership. They would have videos that they would send to all staff all the time monitoring COVID. And they were really, really pushing us to get that shot. They were saying, we're not doing as good as the other hospitals who are getting incentivized for meeting their vaccination quota. Mm-hmm. And we weren't. So they were pointing to us people who worked from home, who never saw patients, who never walked into a hospital. You guys are spreading it around society, and we're going to have to fire you if you don't get your shots. So at that point, I couldn't take it anymore. I knew that my job had been to get them money for murdering patients, and I was having a crisis of conscience over that. And then before the vaccine went out, I decided I was going to be a spy at that point and just see if the vaccine really was as bad as all the warnings said. And then it turned out to be far worse than I anticipated, and I didn't think that the chances would be very good that I would get a an exemption, because mm-hmm. they changed the rules for getting an exemption. Mm-hmm. A lot of people got fired, and I didn't want to work for them anymore. I didn't want to continue helping them get money to murder people.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, you really did have.
That's why I chose to walk out.
You really did have a bird's eye view of this whole thing, because you're seeing the diagnostic codes as well as the treatments that are there, and so you could get a good picture of what was actually coming on and seeing the trends that were there. That's very interesting, yeah. Your perspective. Yeah, I've got something, and I apologize because we can't feed this to you, so you can't hear this. I'll kind of talk about it and describe it, but I want the audience to hear what Lutnick, I call him Lucky Lutnick, what he said in terms about the money that can be made off of this kind of stuff. And he uses an example of the vaccines.
The United States government, the most powerful, the greatest customer, buys stuff. We walk in. We're going to buy, this is the example I like to use. We're going to buy 2 billion COVID vaccines. Mm-hmm. When we buy it, Pfizer and Moderna stocks are going to triple. They're going to triple. So then we say everyone's going to have this vaccine. If I were, after Jared Kushner negotiated the best deal he could, if Howard Lutnick walked in the room, Howard Lutnick would say, what do you think, 20% warrants? Right. 20% warrants?
Right.
Right? What? So we'd make $50 billion. Off of who? Nobody. We didn't take from anybody. We didn't do it. Okay, the shareholders of Pfizer, who we've just tripled them with our order.
Right.
Now, how many of my customers?
Yeah, Zoe, what he's saying, Zoe, says, yeah, you get, the U.S. government's the most powerful customer. So we're going to go in and we're going to buy $2 billion worth of these vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. We're going to force people to take them. He goes, so I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, well, I'm going to get some 20% warrants. I want some action of that. I know what's going to happen with all this. And he says, and, you know, and who have we harmed with all this stuff? It's like the people who got the shot, obviously. But he doesn't even see that. He sees nothing but dollar signs. This is the guy, of course, that is now the Commerce Secretary for Trump, and he's the guy who's pushing through the stable coins and all the rest of this stuff. Makes you wonder what he is going to be doing to us with the stable coins and the resetting of the financial system. These are people who see nothing other than money, and they don't care what they have to do to other people in order to make money. It truly is amazing, the greed in the system and the corruption.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is so hard for me to wrap my brain around how many people they killed. It was a silent genocide that is still invisible.
Yeah,
but there's no family that I can that I've talked to in the last 5 years that hasn't been touched by it in some way. Mm-hmm. Either someone they know is suffering from cancer or some horrible chronic condition after getting the shot, or they've lost somebody. Like I lost my cousin who was 17 who suddenly just drove into a tree and they didn't do an autopsy or look into it. And there's countless other people out there like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was our family. And people are still just kind of burying their heads in the sand and wanting to go on like it didn't happen.
The amazing thing
is, our system is still set up to where it could still happen again. Like we haven't even held those people accountable.
As a matter of fact, we put them back in office again. And so, you know, that's why to me, I look at it and what astounds me the most is just how effective the control of information has been. That's why what you're doing is so important. You've got to get out there and tell people what happened. Because, as you point out, almost everybody I know as well, there's been somebody in their family, immediate or extended family, that's been harmed by this. But everybody thinks that this is a one-off. It didn't happen to everybody else. They don't realize that it happened, how broad this is and how extensive it is. And they think that they're alone. Just like they wanted us to think that we were alone if we saw what was happening. And we weren't going to participate in it. Well, you're the only one who thinks like that. And we're not. You know, there's a lot of people out there who saw what was happening and were onto this scam from the very beginning. And I had the help of a person who gave me a heads up about a year before this happened. He said, there's a lot of chatter about Dark Winter 2. And he goes, you know what Dark Winter 1 was? And I was like, yeah, I know about that. And so when I saw all of this, it was falling right in the pattern of all these germ games. The very first one was 2 months before 9/11. So I knew exactly what was happening with this. And also knew about the PCR test and what Carrie Mullis had said. Talk a little bit about what you saw with the PCR.
Right. So that was another part of the Pandora's box that changed right at the beginning of March 2020 when they declared 2 weeks to flatten the curve and change our whole lives upside down. Mm-hmm. I noticed that before COVID, I worked in a university lab when I was in college, and we had what's called a rapid flu test. And it was something that it was a nose swab, too, or it could be a saliva swab. But it wasn't something that went all the way up to your brain like the COVID PCR swab did. And even the instructions, like us in the lab as lab assistants, one of the number one things we did was coach people on how to collect specimens properly, because it was our job to like screen them, make sure they were gonna work for the test. And if they weren't in a correct format to accept for the test, then we'd have to tell the nurse or doctor, we need you to go recollect that specimen. So these rapid flu tests, they had to be done within 15 minutes, and it was basically a PCR test. It didn't have the same cycle threshold part, so it's kind of a predecessor to the COVID-19 PCR test. But it wasn't done on every patient that had a cold or flu symptom or a pneumonia at all. It was only done on patients that came in like with a recurrent pneumonia that they couldn't cure, or a recurrent cold, and it would be done to try and figure out which types of medications this particular disease would respond to. So it was like a case-by-case basis. It wasn't just everybody that walked into the hospital. And so when COVID-19 came around and they said, you need to stick this all the way up into people's brains, no saliva, and it has to be on every single person. Because, I mean, it really flipped it at one point. It went from you can't get the PCR test, like because they had a drive-through where you could go out into society at first and you have to go to one of these PCR testing centers and they'd say you have to have symptoms. Sure. You can't get it unless you have symptoms. And then people were mad that they couldn't get the PCR test. And then like overnight it flipped to now everybody has to get it for everything. You have to get it if you walk in the ER, even if you don't have COVID symptoms. And I thought that was weird. We never did that before. That is not supposed to be a screening test. It's supposed to be a diagnostic test because a screen is done when you don't have symptoms. Mm-hmm. It's trying to rule out if you're developing something. Mm-hmm. And they were telling us asymptomatic spread. Well, I could see in the hospital, there's no such thing as asymptomatic spread. This 6 feet thing is made up. Masks don't work. I knew that from the very beginning because masks in the hospital had only been used for like collecting spittle over like a surgery case. It wasn't meant to like prevent germ spread. That was never part of our infection control.
Yeah.
So I knew there was something up with these PCR tests, and I kept looking at the results. And finally, I find that it's done by PCR. And I recall my time at a university lab when we were just starting PCR testing, because this was early 2000s, and Mullis invented it like late 86 is when the NIH took it up and started using PCR.
Mm-hmm.
So it got into healthcare early 2000s, and all the techs, like my mom was a medical technologist, it was her job, she actually ran one of these labs, it was her job to, you know, run those tests, and they were all talking like this was like their new tech, like they were a kid in a candy store excited about it, this PCR thing. But it was all genetic testing. It was genetic. It was done for cancer screening, which they thought was genetic, and it was done for like women that would, like, they would call it genetic counseling. If you're a couple and you're a female and you go and you want to have genetic counseling, you can see if you have like a hereditary disease like Huntington's, and then maybe decide if you want to continue with procreation or not. So it was genetic. So I thought, why all of a sudden are we testing for viruses with PCR? Well, while I wasn't looking, because for 10 years I was a medical coder, so I wasn't really looking at what was going on in the lab until COVID happened. So then I find it's by PCR, and I start looking at, well, there's obviously this problem with false positives. Even Elon Musk was saying, I got two tests in one day. One of them was negative, one of them was positive. And I could see the hospital was running over and over and over these PCR tests, waiting to get a positive result if they didn't get the right result. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. What is going on here? And fast forward to like after the PCR test evolved a little bit toward the end of 2020 into 2021, they had what's called a PCR multiplex assay. So it was four different viruses they were actually monitoring. Flu A, flu B, RSV, and COVID-19. And the only one that ever came up positive out of a whole year of running all four of these viruses was COVID. Not one flu, not one RSV. And they say we have a RSV pandemic now.
It's such an amazing thing. And, you know, we go back and we used to play the clips all the time of Mullis calling out Fauci because, you know, Fauci used the PCR test to claim that AIDS was caused by a virus. And that created a big back and forth between them. And Mullis said, well, I'm not going to get involved in that fight, but I'll tell you this, that you can't prove it using the PCR test. It can't be used as a diagnostic like that. And so it was very interesting because they also did not isolate the HIV, you know, the virus that supposedly caused AIDS either. And so this whole thing has been kind of a bluff. What it reminds me of, Zoe, is the polygraph tests. My wife used to be a district personnel manager for convenience stores, and what they would do if they would have, you know, massive shortages somewhere and they thought there was theft that was going on with the employees, they would call them in and polygraph them. And the polygraph did not work, but it only worked if people believed that it could tell them, tell whether or not they were lying, and then they would tell the truth about it and make a confession, right? So it was simply a mind game that was being played on the people that were there. And that's what the PCR thing is. It really is a mind game, except that it's become something of a lie detector for the people who are administering it. We realize now that they are the liars who are putting this stuff out.
Right.
I just had in a comment, Lance put up, my producer, he said that video of Lutnick where he's talking about that reminds him of this scene out of The Big Short, which we just went back and watched again because of the AI bubble. And at one point, this guy gets up and he's talking, and one of the guys who's onto the whole scam says, why is he confessing? And the other guy says, he's not confessing. He's bragging. And that's basically what Lutnick was doing. He wasn't confessing about all this stuff. He was bragging about it. And he continues to get away with this kind of stuff. Truly is amazing.
Yeah. Well, what's even more nefarious about the PCR test is, so the false positive narrative, that is only, it's about the cycle threshold, but you're correct. They didn't actually sequence SARS-CoV-2. So they never had a sequence. They have what's called a consensus sequence, which is an average that an AI came up with. And that's what they use because they knew they would find this in a percentage of people. And then they could dial it in with the cycle threshold up or down. Same thing with the AIDS thing. They never isolated AIDS, and they used their antibody tests at first, which could be dialed up or down in the same way as the cycle threshold. And David Rasnick, PhD, who I've interviewed, can vouch for that. He's got all the science on his webpage to prove all of that. Mm-hmm. But what I was looking past the cycle threshold, because I knew this test is dialed in for some reason. Like, they can predict the results somehow. And I needed to know how they were manipulating the test. And so I looked a little bit further, and I find a document from the CDC that says for every COVID test, every CLIA certified lab, which is all of them, they all have to be in order to build insurance or anything, have to be CLIA certified. Then they have to send a genetic sequence to one of two gene banks, either NCBI or GISAID gene banks. Hmm. And it listed like eight different sequences. So they're saying, you know, the variants in the details. Mm-hmm. But if you look at some of these labs that were running PCR tests and making all the money off running these PCR tests, they could also take that same sample off that machine, put it on another machine, run a sequence. And they needed to, in order to comply with the CDC's directive, to send genetic sequences to these gene banks. And I interviewed David Rasnick, who is a chemistry professor who worked with Carrie Mullis and knew Carrie Mullis. I asked him directly, do you think that they were just clipping a tiny little section of the genetic code and then sending it to these gene banks? Or do you think they were getting the entire sequence? And he says, well, they're running a lab. They're busy. They're not really thinking about, you know, taking the time to clip out the sequence. So could they? Yes. Mm-hmm. But would they really do that? No. It'd be so much easier for them to just send the whole thing and then let the gene bank decide which part that they want to determine is the variant of concern.
Wow.
So they were, and you look at the different gene banks. There's one called Datavant, which is now a public-private partnership. You look at the Human Genome Project, which is now BGI Genetics, I think, in China, which is their biggest biotech company. Mm-hmm. And there's billions of dollars in collecting our DNA. And what they say they're using it for is to, and now we have Larry Ellison actually admitting it day two of the Trump administration, mm-hmm. that they're going to use AI, which is what they use to get the consensus sequence that they dial the PCR test in with.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to use AI to look at our blood and then make a drug or a therapeutic or a vaccine tailored to our individual genome. And now there's a massive industry of all these big tech oligarchs that are using AI to develop different vaccines or different therapeutics, biotech therapeutics tailored to the individual genome. So whether or not they're successful with this technology, there's a whole bunch of money invested in it. So I think PCR was actually a data mining operation,
yes,
as well as a money laundering operation.
That's interesting, yeah. And of course, if they want to make a bioweapon that's going to target certain groups of people, that makes it very easy to do that as well. You know, and when you look at the PCR, you know, Handy, who also has a Substack, and he's been a regular listener and commenter on the program. He worked in hospitals, and he said he was suspicious of these things. Finally got a nurse to take one of these swabs right out of the package and run it through and got a positive test. Without swabbing anybody. So some of these,
yeah.
It was such garbage. I mean, either it's preloaded with something or the PCR test is just so off the charts with its magnification or whatever. You can find anything anywhere, as Carrie Mullis
said.
Well,
didn't the president of Tanzania, I think he did some PCR tests,
right,
on like a papaya and like a Coca-Cola and got positive results too.
That's right. It's total nonsense and garbage. And I remember when they had the Cannes Film Festival, it was in the summer of 2020. And you had all these elitists who somehow they got there, I guess, on their private jets and didn't have to get screened too much. But anyway, they're there and they were complaining that they had to do spit tests. They said, that's disgusting. We got to spit in this thing and they got to test it and so forth. I said, yeah, so why don't they allow us to do a spit test, right? They got to ram that thing up your nose, but you don't get that. But the elites, the jet setters, the private jets, they get the spit test or whatever.
Oh my God, that's funny.
All this stuff was just
so
ridiculous.
When I worked in the university lab, there was something called sputum testing, which is exactly that. You basically hock a loogie into a cup. Mm-hmm. And like it was the most disgusting sample I ever had to deal with when I worked in the lab. And I make a joke in my book. We all were spared that they that they didn't make that the test that we had to do. But you're telling me that's what the elites do.
Yeah, I think that's preferable to having that thing ramrodded up your nose, I guess. I didn't have that done to me. So I went through the whole thing without having a PCR test. Sorry, go ahead.
Me neither. That was another reason why I walked out, because if I were to stay in the hospital stay working for them and get the exemption, then I was going to have to take a PCR test every week. Hmm. And I didn't want to have to take a PCR test. I was pretty sure they were going to be collecting our DNA with it, or sensing if we're vaccinated or not, or somehow tying that in with the vaccine passport. I wasn't entirely sure how it's going to work, but I knew that it wasn't what they were telling us, and I wasn't about to play along.
Yeah.
So that was another reason why I couldn't.
And of course, the other things too were some people did some, you know, zoomed in with a microscope looking at the tip of the swab and said, look at this, you know, here's one of the cotton swab and here's this PCR thing. It's got all these spikes on it. And if I run it across some of these things, those spikes stick and stay. So are they actually implanting something into you? You know, I did some
research on it, and I found there were two chemicals on the tip of the swab. One of them was ethylene oxide, and that alone can, like, they were putting it, you know, way up in your nose, where your pineal gland is, your third eye, which is right at the top. Mm-hmm. So putting that chemical right there is known to cause cancer.
Wow.
And so the more you do it, the more carcinogenic it's going to be. And then it also has the chemical property where it will basically block and calcify your pineal gland, so it like closes your third eye, and it's also a way that your brain can sense light. It's how your body basically like synchronizes hormones throughout your whole body, so it can change your whole endocrine system if you close or calcify your pineal gland. So all sorts of things could happen just with that one chemical. But I think there was also graphene oxide on there. There was different schools that said they had been given these special masks even that had graphene in them, similar, like the exact same phenomenon about the fibers that actually move and respond to magnetics. Mm-hmm. Well, graphene oxide has a magnetic property to it. That's why they wanted to use it. Mm-hmm. But it's also supposed to be clean. So they were saying, like, we're using this to make it antibacterial because it has antibacterial properties. but both the swabs and some of the masks had graphene fibers in them that could maybe do that.
And so if they can't inject the graphene,
I have no idea what that would do if you shove it up your nose over and over and over.
So if they can't inject the graphene into you, they can get it in there another way. And of course, I've mentioned this many times too. There's a couple of different batches, each of them over a million of these shots in Japan. And they noticed that they were getting black particulates. I don't know if it happened because they didn't keep them at the super cold temperatures or whatever, but they noticed black participants and particulates, and they said they reacted with magnets. So what is that? But they would. End of story. No more talking about that. And the Japanese government threw away a couple million of these vaccines because of that type of thing. But yeah, there's just so many issues there, and people have been lied to so thoroughly about all this stuff. This is why it's not a dead issue. It is still alive, and they're going to try to do all this stuff again. And since it worked so well, they will use the same tactics again. That's why it's very important to talk about these different tactics. And that's what
they're using.
Yes.
Right. They're moving forward with the mRNA. I mean, they're not only putting it in our food. Like, we've probably heard, I'm sure your audience has heard about the bird flu and how they're doing the self-amplifying bird flu injections for poultry. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get it in cattle. And they've had mRNA shots in pork. So almost all the pork is tainted now since like 2018. Mm-hmm. Now they're rolling it out for pets. So now when you go in, you try it and you have to get your annual rabies shot for your pets. Now that's going to be mRNA. They're moving over to the mRNA platform for all the vaccines.
Yes.
So normies that who might be a little like cautious about COVID-19 because they've heard the rumors by now, most of them, but they haven't heard that now your RSV, your flu, and a lot of even like the childhood vaccines are moving over to this mRNA platform where they get to bypass clinical trials. Mm-hmm. So it still hasn't been, this is an experiment that is now being rolled out to all our vaccines. Sure. Under the guise of, this is totally fine, this is normal science, we've totally tested this, but it's absolutely not. I mean, they've had
that's right. People need to understand
for like 3 years.
Yeah.
For the first one, we just barely passed the first part of monitoring.
That's right. And people need to understand that the guy who boasted about being the father of the vaccine, first things he did, as you pointed out, Stargate thing with Larry Ellison, where he's talking about, well, we're going to use AI to design, custom design this for your genetics, and then we will deliver it with an mRNA platform. And the person that they put in as they chose to put in at the head of the CDC was Susan Monterez. And that had been what she was working on with BARDA and with ARPA-H and these dark bioweapon companies that are part of the government and the military-industrial complex and the bioweapon platforms and things like that. So there's all these different threads that tie this throughout the Trump administration, pushing mRNA for all these various things. And, of course, then Brooke Rollins, who's the agricultural secretary, she decides on her own initiative that she's going to end this mass culling of chickens by authorizing the mRNA bird flu for chickens, and then they authorize it for other livestock as well. It is the signals are all there that this is all still going on, that Trump is right at the epicenter of all this mRNA stuff. And I guess what we could call now the mRNAi, as in AI, artificial intelligence. It's all connected together, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a giant web, and it is going to be tied to our behavior scores and if we comply, how much we comply with it. Mm-hmm. Looking at, you know, who's monitoring the DNA, where they have to report the PCR results to, who's hiding the adverse effects of the vaccine, putting that all together and looking at, where are they actually, where are we reporting all of these PCR results, and where are we reporting the COVID-19 case numbers? And now we actually have a code to report the COVID-19 adverse effects, but it's still not being used. Mm-hmm. So looking at that and trying to figure out where the code was and why we're not able to report it still, I happen to find that every agency involved in monitoring COVID-19 cases and vaccination tracking specifically, because there's so many vaccine registries, it blows your mind, it's tied to national security.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a matter of national security if you participate in this scheme or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is all DARPA, and it's all the military and the intelligence agencies and all of the Dark Winter stuff. They had, you know, Fauci and the former head of the CIA was playing the role of the president during the first germ game of Dark Winter. I mean, it's all the usual suspects that are involved in all this stuff. It really is a bioweapon that is really targeted to the population. And it truly is amazing.
I think they're even going to try and do more data mining, like go even further than PCR testing with the wearables rollout that we're getting now. Mm-hmm. Because the information, like when I learned that our COVID-19 case numbers, the PCR test is actually getting reported to foreign countries, and our DNA is being data mined, and they're able to tell if we've had a vaccine or not, what's our ethnicity, where we are, how much money we make, like they're layering all of this information. And during Operation Warp Speed, they had a program called Tiberius, which was used in hospitals. There's different Palantir programs that are used in hospitals to monitor and manage the hospital down to like staffing. There was even a program that was part of Operation Warp Speed called HHS Protect. And the hospitals had to report how many ventilators were in use, how many patients were there. I don't know why my camera just stopped. Hmm. That was weird.
Well, I still have audio.
I didn't do anything.
You're back. You're back. Stopped. That's good. You're back.
So they had this program that hospitals had to report how many ventilators, how many patients are in the ICU, how much remdesivir we were using, what's our census report, like all kinds of information that even the hospital didn't want to have to report, in addition to all the other data mining we were doing. Mm-hmm. And that program was a Palantir program mm-hmm. called Tiberius, which it's used in Gaza. And that's the one that they use to assign risk scores. Well, they use that here already in America during Operation Warp Speed to figure out if you were vaccinated or not, to target different ethnic groups for vaccines, and then to figure out where the countermeasures, as in where did the ventilators need to go? Where did the remdesivir need to go? Mm-hmm. So they've already had these programs in place that are tied into our medical records. And then to hear Larry Ellison say, we're going to use your medical records and your DNA, your personal data, to design stuff directly to you. And then in addition, they say, we're going to put wearables on you. They're going to monitor your body at all times mm-hmm. for the purposes of national security. And I don't know how that doesn't send shivers down the spine of every single citizen in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we look at their big data thing. They have to have total information awareness. Remember how everybody was creeped out about that? And yet that is mm-hmm. what this really is, the implementation of this. The big data is looking at everything that you're doing, not just online, but they've got to get it out of cyberspace into physical space with all these other aspects of it. And companies like Palantir, they have been focused on geospatial intelligence and data mining and making all these, drawing all these conclusions about people's politics or religion and so forth, based just on even geospatial intelligence. When they get to additional factors like this, they know everything about you. And we're not allowed to know anything about what they do or the results. That's why it really is, at its essence, it is an information war. Because, it is all the information is flowing in one direction, and they have an insatiable appetite to know everything about everybody. It is part and parcel of their control, this total knowledge about everyone and everything. And now AI, and especially companies like Palantir, have given them the ability to go through and collate this massive amount of data that they've been collecting for some time. Now they can make sense of it, because it was so much information they've been collecting on people, they couldn't sort through it with humans. And so now they've got the AI that can sort through this. That is what's so concerning about all of this. And
really is, because when you go on social media and you're fed an algorithm of like which posts do you get to see today, mm-hmm. that's going to be how our whole lives are run. Yes. And I don't know how many people I've known complain about their algorithm. Oh, it's triggering me today, or I don't know why my algorithm's all screwed up and it's showing me blah, blah. Well, imagine if that same algorithm is now your government gets to make decisions about if you're a good person or not, and if you get to go out today, or if you get to eat today, or if you get to use your money today.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's all about total control. And, of course, that guy, Lucky Lutnick, Howard Lutnick, who was bragging about how much money he could make, knowing that the government was going to just flood cash into these pharmaceutical companies. Now I can go in and I can make money off of that, right? So he's got this insider information. He's the guy that's going to be doing the new public-private version of a CBDC. And once they know all your financial transactions, all the rest, any part of this puzzle would give them pretty much total control over your life. But they've got so many different facets where they are monitoring and collating information about you that it truly is just overwhelming to even try to think about it. But again, it's the ignorance and the darkness that they have fooled everybody with. That's why it's so important what you're doing. And again, the site is thrillkillmedicalcult.com, and you're also on Substack, and people find that at zowe.substack.com. And it's very important for people to use this information, try to wake people up as to what's going on. They've not only hidden stuff from people, but they have, in terms of inoculation, the one thing they've inoculated you against is the truth. And they've inoculated you against questioning what they tell people. And that's why you need to try to wake people up with sites like Zoe's as well. So is there anything else that you would like to hit?
If anyone is interested, I'm going to be doing a memorial for the people that we've lost to hospital protocols and mm-hmm. vaccine injured, including women who may have had a stillbirth or a miscarriage due to the shot.
Oh, yeah.
So if you go to my website, there's a page called Vigil, And if you'd like to submit a name of a loved one, you don't have to tell us anything more, just the name of a loved one. You could even just put, you know, baby boy or baby girl if you like. And we're going to be lighting a candle in remembrance of your loved ones. So if you like, please go and submit a name, and we will honor your loss.
It's important. We cannot forget what they've done to us, and we cannot forget those that they have killed. That's absolutely vital. Thank you so much for what you do. Again, Zoe Smith, her website is thrillkillmedicalcult.com, and you can find her on Substack at zoe.substack.com, and she spells Zoe, Z-O-W-E.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21 ERP. It's ERP purpose built for distribution with real-time inventory visibility, smarter purchasing, and tools that make every day easier. Don't play catch-up. Visit epicor.com/win.